Blog Talk Radio. Brother Sharif, Brother Sharif,
Brother Sharif, and Thor Ministry Radio. Radio. Brother Sharif and Thor Ministry Radio. Radio. Radio.
Dig, dig, dig this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go again. How low can you go?
How y'all feel out there?
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, party people in the house. Yeah, boy.
Are you ready for more with Thor Radio?
Thor Radio? Oh, yeah.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors?
Yeah.
Are you facing foreclosure?
Okay.
We'll bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt.
Okay.
Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Thor Ministry Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Well, welcome to Thor Radio Network, Thor Radio Ministry. We may be delayed, but we are never denied. But the people are never denied. Once again, this is yours truly, the host and founder of Thor Radio Network Ministry. I am Brother Sharif, also referred to as B. Sharif, for those that don't like titles of nobility. But nevertheless, I am your brother. I'm here to do what the Creator and the universe has ordained for me to do. Man, I'm excited today for many reasons, some of which you wouldn't understand. But it's always a great opportunity to come to our network and give out information to the community at large. Today is August the 12th, 2014. We are live. We have always been live since the creation of Thor Radio. No replays, no repeats. So we are in studio. I apologize for the technical difficulties earlier. Yes, we did pay our phone bill, so our line was not disconnected. But that happened. It did sort of remind me of some of the days of my childhood when you couldn't pay the phone bill. And you had somebody call, and they would come to school the next day and say, man, your number was disconnected. You ain't paid your phone bill. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't try to act like you never had your phone bill cut off. Especially in those days when you had the rotary phone. They used to charge you like 25 cents a minute. No, they didn't have those calling plans now where you can pay $20 and talk forever. If they did, my mother would have been a happy camper. So you paid for those minutes back in the days. But Blog Talk got their thing together. They had some technical difficulties. It was not just us. It was everyone. So no one had a show going on that would have had a show scheduled at 11 o'clock. But nonetheless, we're here. It's 1 o'clock, rather 1:13. Our show is going to go on as if it was 11 o'clock. My crew is here, all except one. Our mother, Rudy, has something to take care of today, so our blessings is with her. Layla and Lori is here. Today is Thor Trivia Day. For those of you that don't know what that is, you will shortly. We received a bunch of emails with Dunning letters attached. Those that wanted Thor to dissect their notice to see if we can find any violations or see if you know how to find them. So we look forward to that probably at the top of the hour. We are going to talk about our recent news events in the world of debt, foreclosure, debt collection. I will have a short monologue for you on my preferred topic of my choice. I usually try not to make up my mind what the topic is going to be because the creator and the universe always leads me in a different direction, so it all depends. Myself and my staff on the ministry, we always try to plan a show, but it rarely works. Rarely works. The universe always comes in and usually has us go a direction that we didn't plan on going. So let me bring in my staff, the panel, the crew, my clique, my club. And we're going to get into the show. I want to say blessings and peace to all my community in the chat room. Y'all don't come in Thor's house and not speak to each other, so why don't y'all say hello, introduce yourselves, have a conversation. Pretend like you in the club, whatever you want to do, as long as it's respectful. Y'all can make yourselves at home. Let me see if my Thor rings are here. Let me open them up. Let's get the disclaimer out the way, see if they have anything to say before we dive head first into the subject matter. Sorry, opened up the wrong line. Layla and Lori.
Good morning, everybody.
Me and Layla are ready to say hey. We've been sitting on the sidelines waiting to talk to everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Hope everybody's doing great today. And I look forward to us all getting together and getting a little education and a whole lot of knowing going on today. And if y'all will just excuse me for 2 seconds, I'm trying to take care of something that's come up unexpectedly, and then I'll pop back in.
All right. And the glorious Florine Layla.
Greetings, Thor family. It's been a Thorageous day already. You know, we're ready to rock and roll. Just wanted to make everyone aware of Thor's disclaimer. Please be informed that the information on this show is not to be considered legal advice. There are no attorneys or bar members or any other private legal groups associated with the show. Listeners are informed to thoroughly please to research this information provided on the show prior to taking any action. We have some great material stuff today. So back to you, Brother Sharif.
Why, thank you, Layla. Y'all will be hearing more from Layla and less from me. There was a couple of complaints filed with the Thor zookeepers who complained that there was a lion running around talking too much. So Layla came to me, and Lori and Rudy came to me and sort of told me that I would have to spend a little bit more time in the cage and less time roaming the jungle, which is where I'm comfortable, in Babylon. So they told me that they want to cage me a little bit more, make themselves a little bit more visible. And I'm going to do so. Because surely y'all don't think that in a jungle there's just a lion and no lionesses. If y'all really had a full understanding of lions, you will know the role that the lionesses play and how they play. And in street terms, they are able to get down just as well as the lion. So we're going to allow them to demonstrate their lioness capabilities by bringing you the vocals on our subject matter, which is consumer protection law. All right, so I'll be able to come out of the cage 30, 45 minutes. They'll put me back in. They'll take over, and then I'll be able to answer some questions or address the spectators. All right. Layla, did you have anything before I jump into a couple of topics?
No, I just have some articles that I wanted to bring forward, but I do have something that I would like to share with everyone, there, you know, if you don't mind.
What's that topic? I don't want it to collide or reduplicate effort on it. Which topics is that?
Well, actually, the topic I just wanted to basically just talk about from a mindset perspective. You know,
okay.
That's what this show is all about, really. It's a mindset. And as we move forward in the things that we do, we really should be taking notice of how we do what we do. And I aim to bring forward what I learned through the business group that I'm dealing with. And some of the mindset that as business owners, what we discuss on some of our calls. And, you know, the business aspect of what we talk about really impedes the very core of our fiber and everything that we do. And in light of some of the things that are going on around the world and in the country, I wanted to share this with you. Last week I brought to you, we are reading this book, The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill. And this is about, this is an almost 1,200-page book. And there are, there are so many principles associated with the law of success. And it doesn't necessarily mean from a monetary perspective. It means every area of our lives. And what I'd like to bring forward is, this is a quote directly from the book, "The divine economy is automatic and very simple. We receive only that which we give." How true it is that we receive only that which we give. It is not that which we wish for what that comes back to us, but that which we give. I implore you to make use of this law not only for material gain, but better still for the attainment of happiness and goodwill toward men. This, after all, is the only real success for which to strive. So I just wanted to share that with everyone, just be mindful in all of your comings and goings. And that's a universal principle to be considered. Back to you, Brother Sharif.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Definitely a lot of the things we discuss on this show are specifically intertwined with spirituality. We're not a religious group here at Thor. We may make reference to religion in some aspect, but I believe we've been on several months, and I really don't care what religion you're affiliated with, what color, what race, economic capacity, blind to all of those descriptions, if you may. So spirituality and a fundamental understanding of it is required to be able to obtain and retain good information. It's important that you have the right mindset, the right spirit, when you're coming into information or when you're dealing in commerce or even dealing with family or community. You need to have that, and that's very important. In all respects, I am that line of Judah, and that is my character and makeup. But the spirit of that character is always intact, passion, but there's spirituality with it. There may be harshness, but there's spirituality with it. And my mindset is always trying to do what it takes to prick, uplift the frequencies and vibrations and consciousness of the people. That's bottom line. Babylon is in a great state of confusion. And the character of the line of Judah is necessary in many aspects of your life, and you may have a couple of them. So, in speaking of mindset and having the right spirit and information that you may come across, we always notice that there are some that when they come into important information, or in some respects, powerful information, they at times become just as abusive as the people they complain abuse them. Not everybody, but a lot of us. And I always have to make reference to that because I really thank the Creator and everybody out there that supports Thor, and most of you do. The overwhelming emails and communications that I get in support of what we do and the information we put out there is definitely recognized to the fullest. But as well, we have to understand that when having that information, we have to treat it carefully. Okay, because educated people are more confident people. Definitely by far, you're definitely more confident by nature when you're educated on whatever subject matter is appropriate for the environment that you're in. People will always take information and try to abuse you with it. Or they may take the information and try to abuse the ones that may have been abusing them. I'm going to give you an example of that. And I'm going to give you a Thor warning of what everyone out there should be careful of, what they're affiliating themselves with, who they're affiliating themselves with, what information they're absorbing and take it in, what spirit and character is emanating from the people providing that information. Why are they doing it? They doing it. Do they sound angry? Do they sound retaliatory? Do they sound vengeful? Do they sound like a vigilante? You have to be able to discern all of that when even allowing your mind or your ears to be susceptible to certain information. Because it always sounds good. Or, depending on your frequency and spiritual level, it may sound bad enough to fulfill your appetite for revenge. And many of us, although I understand the state of our country and the community and the economy and things of that nature, what elevates you above that mindset, because it is a mindset, is having the right spirit. Your belief in whatever your deity is, whatever your religious preference is, whatever it is that is able to keep you grounded and disciplined for yourself or others around you is important. We have a lot of different cultures out there, a lot of different groups, a lot of different trends of thoughts, a lot of different religious beliefs, political beliefs, historical beliefs, esoterical beliefs. Some people won't talk to you unless you're a part of their clique or their club or their belief system. Oddly enough, that is a firm truth in the informational arena. But I'm going to read to you something that everybody should be able to understand, because I know most of the people on this show patronizes other groups and shows, have people around that are angry about something, or people that are depressed. There's no doubt about it. In some form or fashion, all of us have been or might currently be under oppression, be it economical, it may be spiritual, it may be mental. In some events, it may be physical. But at the end of the day, whatever you're going through, it's not worth you turning from being abused to becoming an abuser of information, be it good information or bad. In the eyes of the law, there's something called mens rea. I want you to look that up. There's something called intent. We need to learn what that means. What is your intent with the information that you're getting? Do you intend to take the information that you would get from Thor or anywhere else and become someone's god? Start oppressing the people around you because you receive something freely for the most part? Or do you want to get the information and then go out and charge people $5,000 when you're still a student yourself and don't know how to translate or teach the information in a manner similar to how you were taught? You have students going out there playing teachers. Sure, anybody can send out a few letters. Where did you get the letters from? Sure, they work. You got it from a teacher who does it, who's done it. That doesn't make you anything other than a student. You don't know what the letters mean. You just put a stamp on it, wrote your name in. Now you want to claim to be a master teacher and you can charge somebody $5,000. Or you want to take the information and you want to start abusing the people around you because they're not as versed, didn't spend as much time listening to somebody that almost gives it to you. At least that's what you think. It's one thing being given information, is another thing to know how to demonstrate that information to the point of success. Let's talk about some of the information that is out there. We talked about here at Thor that we're always going to continue to be Truth Radio. Indeed, hands down, we are trendsetters. No matter how you cut it. A lot of things have been out there a long time. Certain people put their hands on it and it turns to gold or becomes more profound, more popular, more understandable. Those are trendsetters. People start wanting to duplicate, adopt. Plagiarize, even mimic, and that's fine. But let's talk about some of the mimicking that goes on out here that might put you in a situation to where you're going to wind up on the wrong end of the stick, because some of those groups and some of those people and gurus and leaders are preying on your ignorance, your anger, your lack of spirit. Your lack of mindset. They know that you're in a state of peril and dishevel. They know that you're weak. You're vulnerable. Many times you become guinea pigs for doing things that they don't have the confidence or wherewithal to do. In most cases, they haven't done it themselves, although they'll talk like they've done it 100 times. They'll charge you $5,000, $3,000, although they've never completed to a success what they're telling you or offering you. But since Thor is common with a lot of this information, and many of you are, I thought it'd be careless of us not to bring it to your attention. Again, as a Thor warning for what you should not do. This is an article that was sent to me, and I have to give hats off to Lori, who is a pretty darn good researcher. She is the research team for Thor Ministry, and Lori digs deep and goes in. This is an article from the Justice Department, which is the United States Justice Department, or Department of Justice. And the title of it is Nebraska Sovereign Citizen Convicted of Filing False Liens Against Federal Officials and Federal Tax Crimes. Nebraska Sovereign Citizen Convicted of Filing False Liens Against Federal Officials and Federal Tax Crimes. Now, let me explain something to you before I get into this article so you have a full understanding of my position. First of all, the term sovereign citizen is an oxymoron. It makes no sense whatsoever. That is a term and phrase that the media maybe or powers that be affixes to an activity that maybe for all intents and purposes, illegal, unlawful, unjust, or even morally and ethically inappropriate. There's a lot of things that are inappropriate about what is going on in our country today. And I don't think any one particular group or society or person can put a label on the activities of anybody unless you're living perfect. Nonetheless, some things are outright stupid. And even though in some instances they may have some legality to it, morally and ethically, you shouldn't participate in things for the reasons and purposes that these type people participate in it for. All right? Just so everybody have an understanding, because you will hear this a lot. The people in America are sovereign people. Okay? That's not me talking. That's law. All right? There are several cases out there. You can look it up. Supreme Court cases. I'm not talking about any local court or appellate court or state court. I'm talking about your United States Supreme Court has ruled in a couple of cases. You can look them up. They're Chisholm versus Georgia, Lansing versus Smith. And it says people of a state are entitled to all rights which formerly belong to the king by his prerogative. Okay, I'm not here to tell you that you're a sovereign and you can go out and do what you want, but I want to put it all into perspective that sovereignty itself, of course, is not what you think it is. You've been endowed with certain rights that are unalienable by your creator. Indeed, the creator was here before any state, any government was here. State or government didn't create anything, and y'all should know that everything was here before anybody was here. So nobody owns anything or anyone. The people delegate their power to the government. The people delegate their power to the government. Okay? So you couldn't delegate any power to a government or anyone else to abuse you in any way, because you would not abuse yourself. If you want to look at another case, Yick Woe versus Hopkins, and those cases say that while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. For example, public servants. People take that and they stretch it. All power derives from the people. The only reason why I said that is for you to understand, because there's a lot of misconception about that. And many, all people don't abuse what they think is sovereignty. That means you are responsible for governing yourself. No state, no corporation can give you any power unless you gave it to them. And if you gave it to them, you can take it back. You're responsible for self. Your actions, your conduct, your behavior is what that means. Okay? Just wanted to say that and get that out the way. Not saying you have the right to go out and do anything that's morally or ethically wrong. But definitely don't want you to think that you derive some sort of identity from anybody else but yourself and your creator, which is natural law. Okay? But in getting into the article, I'm going to read it for you. A federal jury in Omaha, Nebraska, found Donna Marie Kozak guilty on Friday of conspiracy to file and filing false liens against two United States District Court judges, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Nebraska, two assistant U.S. attorneys, and an Internal Revenue Service special agent, the Justice Department announced yesterday. The federal grand jury also convicted Kozak of filing a false claim against the United States for $660,000 and for corruptly endeavoring to obstruct the due administration of the Internal Revenue laws. Kozak was remanded into custody pending sentencing. The maximum prison term for each false lien charge is 10 years, 5 years for the false claim charge, and 3 years for the obstructing the IRS charge. Many of the offenses have an additional 10 years of potential imprisonment because they were committed while Kozak was on pretrial release. In other words, he was arrested for these charges. He got out, went and filed some more liens. Okay. While he was on pretrial release, meaning pending trial, he went and continued the same alleged crimes that he was charged with in the first place. Based on the evidence introduced at trial and court filings, Kozak, a former member of the so-called Sovereign Citizens Group, okay, so now y'all understand what that means. It doesn't mean anything. It more so names a behavior more than it names a type of people or person. So the so-called Sovereign Citizens Group, Republic for the United States of America. So some sovereign citizen group and engage in a conspiracy to retaliate, remember that word, against federal officials involved in a criminal investigation and prosecution of David and Bernita Cleansang, associates of Kozak, who was convicted of federal tax crime in 2012. Kozak initially retaliated against the federal judge who provided over the Cleansang trial by filing a false lien against her for $19 million with the Boyd County, Nebraska clerk's office. After a federal grand jury indicted Kozak for filing the false lien and for federal tax crimes, she filed five $18 million false liens against federal officials at the Washington County, Nebraska Register of Deeds office while on pretrial release. The evidence introduced at trial and court filings show that since the late 1990s, Kozak has engaged in a long series of fraudulent schemes to obstruct the Internal Revenue laws. These include placing her property in sham trust, establishing a sham charitable foundation, sending harassing correspondence to IRS employees, and filing bogus tax returns, trust returns, private foundation returns, and other false documents with the IRS. In 2008, she filed a tax return based on fictitious income and tax withholdings on Form 1099 OID statements that claimed a refund of $660,000. This case was investigated by special agents of the FBI and IRS criminal investigation. Trial attorneys Brian Bailey and Matthew Hoffman of the department's tax division prosecuted the case. I said a lot of things in here that many of you will recognize, maybe from being on different circuits. There's a lot of people that advocate these type of processes, commercial liens they call them, teaching you or telling you or alluding to the fact that you have the authority to place an $18 million lien on somebody with no rhyme or reason. Because you don't like what they're doing, using different trust and 1099 OIDs. Most of you have heard a lot of these things, or you will. If you travel what is so-called the underground, we are not underground, we're above ground. We deal with things that are, in our opinion and research, perfectly legal. We don't advocate any violence. We are not anti-anybody. We're educating you on commerce, giving you our opinions, our experiences, and information that we have researched. And to date, none of that information has gotten anybody in trouble. But this is the mindset of some of the people that are out there that are angry, retaliatory. You can click on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows right now and they'll be telling you to do this type of information. Private trust and private and liens and all well known, they haven't done not one of them. And filing a lien on somebody, what's the purpose if you can't collect it? $18 million lien on somebody? How did you come up with that number? No rhyme or reason? What if a debt collector was able to put an $18 million debt on you with no rhyme or reason? How do you think you can go out and do ignorant things like that? Who do you think you are? Oh, you think you're sovereign. And you think sovereigns act like that. Some of y'all pay. Some of y'all has paid for education that involves some of these things that I mentioned. Some of y'all may have done bogus OIDs and trust returns and private foundations. You'll hear all of that sham trust and charitable. You hear all of that nonsense out there. I'm telling you. But you better be careful. You better be very careful. Some of y'all may be blessed by the information that I'm giving right now. Some of y'all might feel like, can we go to the next topic? I'm here for everybody, not just you. If I can detour one person from doing this, I've done my job. You can't hate everybody because you're hateful. You don't want to read. Now, even if this power of filing liens that he's wielding around was legitimate, you just really abused it, didn't you? You took something that may have been legitimate, and I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying, for example, if it was, you just took it and abused it. This is the problem. Your spirit, your mentality, your mindset is way off. You're a loose cannon. You're out of control. There has to be structure and organization to everything that you do, dealing in commerce or anything else. You think everybody would be working a job if you can just throw an $18 million lien or a $100,000 lien on somebody? You think people would be going to work 9 to 5? Who in their right mind would even think that something like that was not only legitimate, but doable? But I'm telling you now, you can change the channel later on, this afternoon, this morning, tomorrow, and you will hear people talking about this type of nonsense. If the people that are talking about it, the gurus, had the ability to collect on one lien, why are they asking you for $5,000 to do a FDCPA package or to do a
put your knuckle prints and your footprint on a document, fold it up, and send it to the Treasury. Why are they not cashing in? Why are they on talk radio if they had the ability to do it? You can't teach people everything. Okay? You can never assume power. Power is given to you. And it's given to those that's not going to abuse it. You have idiots out here doing this kind of stuff that, like I said, if it was legitimate, well, let's look at it. Obviously, something is legitimate about filing a lien because they said they filed lien. So I guess, and I don't know firsthand, I'm just telling you right now, I guess there is a way to file liens, but I'm almost sure this is not the way you do it. The reason you do it. Now you see why information is kept under wraps so much. How you just can't put certain things out, although the people should have it. Some of us don't know what to do with it. We become abusers. And some of you will go out there and pay somebody to teach you $10,000, $20,000 to teach you how to go to jail and do something ignorant like this because you want to, because you feel like it. I've heard of some of these idiots going around and filing liens on judges and prosecutors over a $100 traffic ticket when all you got to do is learn the damn traffic laws. You don't want to read a book. You just want to swing a weapon around at will. Ignorance. And then some of y'all will fall into that trap because you're angry. Sure, in a way you're being oppressed. We understand that. We understand that the walls feel like they're caving in, the economy, the debt collectors, the political environment, the state of the country. I understand. Some of us are being abused. Every time I turn around, there's somebody getting shot, somebody getting killed over nothing. But you have to sit down, you have to think. If the Creator blessed you with some weapon or something that was created to protect yourself, you use it wisely, in line with morality and ethics. I'm not saying that you're dealing with morally and ethically sound people, but you're not going to get too far in the long run matching that level of competence. Don't get me wrong, at some point in time, you have to match fire with fire. I understand that, but you have to think about it first. You have to make sure you're doing it for the right reason. So for some of you out there that's thinking about filing liens and running with groups that sound like they want to take over the world, or they hate the world, or they think the world and the country is an hallucination, it's a hologram, that the people are here wasn't really here. And you're listening to these people and their spirits sound like they're about to explode any minute, you need to get away. You need to not let that spirit penetrate you for too long, because you can always find something to be angry about, trust me. And that's all the people that teach this nonsense prey on, your vulnerability, your anger, your discontent, and your lack of spirit. And they make you pay them to give you something that is going to destroy you . So, trust and liens and private and all this other stuff that you can't put your finger on, or you can't go to a law library and read about front to back, or you can't call up somebody and get a complete dissertation about it and understand it for yourself, you better run. You're not going to get it back that way. You're not going to succeed that way. Even if they're doing it to you, they've been doing it a lot longer, they're not going to let you do it. Why? This is an example of why you shouldn't be allowed to do it. Y'all can check out that article at the United States Department of Justice. When you open up their site, I want you to read the caption on the top to the right. You should get something out of that. I'll just read it for you right quick. Maybe you should read it a few times. The common law is the will of mankind issuing from the life of the people. I didn't say that. That's the slogan on the website of the United States Department of Justice. The people that were depicted in this article are not one of the people. Okay? They're not one of the people, because people don't act like that. If somebody injures you, you should have a way and a manner to seek your redress legally. There is a system for that. What we teach here is consumer protection laws. They are what you call tort letters, notices of dispute. What is that? That is notice. That is notice of what? A harm. Right? And what do you have to do to collect on that harm? You have to learn the judicial system, the civil procedure, and proper manner to go and obtain your compensation. There's rules to it, is it not? So if there's rules to you suing a debt collector in court to get $1,000 or $100,000, how do you think you can go out and put a lien on somebody for $1 million or $100 just because you want to? Stupidity. That's all I had on that subject. Watch yourself. If you tune into any show or any guru or any leader or any of your friends or any new people that come into information and you start hearing that, please remember this show. Remember that article. And tell that brother or sister to get your heart, your mind, and your spirit right. And you'll want to handle things another way. But obviously this way is not working. And you know what? I agree that it shouldn't work. And it should only be used for people that are in the right mindset, that won't abuse anything in life, especially information. All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some news.
Brother Sharif, can I interject something, please?
Yes, ma'am. You sure can.
All right. In relation to what you were just speaking, we didn't get to really talk about this last episode, but there is another article that came out the same day as that article in relation to the same. The title was, maybe you mentioned it, Sovereign Citizens Seen as Top
terrorist threat by U.S. law enforcement. And so, you know, Brother Sharif just read that article about how this person, Donna, just went, served, and she's going to, you know, potentially serve a lot of time. But there was a survey that they did, and it says that 52% of respondents have agreed and 34% strongly agreed that the sovereign citizens were a serious terrorist threat. So just be mindful of that. You know, we're in the age of information, and we all know about the NSA and how that came out through Eric Snowden and the things that they're looking at. You know, for those of you who are thinking about some of these processes, be forewarned that they are looking. And, you know, you will be considered one of those entities that they term as that oxymoron as a sovereign citizen. So with that, I'd like to go back to you, Brother Sharif.
I totally agree with you. I want to make a point to say that I don't agree that you can lump people that seek truth and information through education, and they determine, just like we're doing here on this show, that, well, creditors are not really creditors. Okay? There are people out there that are good truth seekers. There are things that you can read today that all your life you thought was one thing and you're realizing it's another. Well, that's not your fault. That's the fault of the people that allow you to believe that, and in most cases taught you to believe something that was not true. There are a lot of people that study the law from different aspects that realize that there are some issues with the truth in this country. There are some outright lies. There's some outright thievery. There is corruption. There is oppression. There is manipulation. You, for all intents and purposes, you put a country, or half of a country, or a third of a country, on unemployment due to an intentional collapse of the economy, in my opinion. And they're reading. They're studying. They're looking at every aspect of either an entity or a person that may have been or may be currently abusive or oppressive. So if you happen to come up with information to determine that the person that's been oppressing you don't really have the authority to do so, as one of the people, you have a right to remove yourself from that oppression nonviolently. And that's your job, to do that for yourself and your family. We all know that you want to be consistent with law. You can go read a few things about what a lot of truth seekers talk about. There'll be driver's licenses. That's one. When you look at the legality of it, and I deal with legality, you can read and see where, unless you are in commerce, that is not required. That's just the law. Okay? Now, do I agree with it? Again, now you have to rely on your morals, values, and ethics. Do I want anybody riding down the street saying, you know, I don't need a driver's license, I don't need to respect the speed limit, or the speed limit is really for commercial trucks? Well, I mean, you might have a point there. But then if my kids is in that roadway and you injure them, I don't care if you have a license or not. You're going to deal with reality. So although you may not be required to do certain things, there are certain things that you want to do for the safety of the people and other people around you.
and maybe family that you may have in another part of this country that you wouldn't want to see hurt or injured just because legally you didn't have to do it, but you should have. Again, spirituality, mental stability, ethics and morals are something that the people lived on many, many years ago. You didn't need 4 or 6 million statutes or codes or what they refer to synonymously as laws. It was always your character and how you were brought up. What type of person are you? If you're abusive, you're going to abuse everything you touch. Even if it's a pillow, you're going to find a way to be abusive with that because that's just your character. That's your nature. So that's what it comes down to. When they talk about sovereign citizens, they're the number one threat. You have to look at things in its totality. There's a case that can be made that there's a lot of killing going on now that has no business going on by people that says they are here to protect you. So we have to look at all four sides and everybody be accountable and responsible. But just because somebody decided to put their head in a book and start reading things and trying to understand who is who, which is what we teach you here to do from a consumer perspective, it's the same thing some people are teaching elsewhere, but without the violence, with knowledge. You can't say someone is being a sovereign citizen because they're dealing with a traffic matter or they're dealing with a court matter and they're telling you in reading that certain things that you're requiring of them is not required. How can they be abusive? It's paperwork. Isn't that what you're using? Aren't we learning here a different language that's been used against us for a long time that we didn't know? Weren't you debt collectors being abusive or deceptive? Intentionally, creatively. So you just can't say that now certain people are a threat because they're using the same information you've been using against them. That's not a threat unless there's something to hide. If any particular group or society or people or person is angry because you're not able to oppress somebody with paper, which is what's happening here at Thor Radio, then it would be easy to say that Thor Radio Ministry is a threat because we can't collect all that money we were collecting. Y'all have to be careful about what you read and what you hear. And be careful about absorbing certain things just because a media outlet says it. You have to understand what's behind the media outlet. Who is behind the media outlet? Who owns the media outlet? And whether what they say is what? Hearsay or facts? Y'all don't know any facts. That article I just read, I said alleged. I believe that you have some of those imbeciles that go around putting liens on people. I believe the article. I can't say it's factual. I believe it. But if you hear something on TV, you can't necessarily believe that unless you know firsthand that that is a fact. And when you understand that, life will be a lot better for you. You'll be able to understand our subject matter, which is, I don't care what you say, debt collector. You're going to have to prove it to me. And if you didn't do it yourself, I'm not going to listen to what you say somebody else did unless you provide a competent fact witness to support what you're telling me. That should be your mindset. It has to be with everyone else. There's nothing wrong with you asking questions of anybody or any authoritative figure. Nothing wrong with you studying law. There's nothing wrong with you discerning legal information, interpreting it from a realistic approach. That's what they do all the time, don't they?
don't they interpret and not that I'm into it, don't they do that in politics? They tell you, oh, we interpret what so-and-so did when the country AD 20, we interpret what they were thinking. Now, don't y'all hear that ignorance all the time? That stupidity from people that sound intelligent trying to tell you what they thought somebody else was thinking 200, 300 years ago. But y'all sit here and y'all, we suck it all in, don't we? I have done it before. You watch TV now, if you watch a good crime story, you hear the prosecution go, this is what happened. We're going to reconstruct the scene. Are you God? Can you reconstruct anything? People go to jail every day for somebody up there playing God, trying to tell you what happened and they wasn't there. Layla, you ever watch one of those shows? What show was that? There was one of those cop shows I used to watch all the time, and you know, there was a killing, and these experts would come in, and they would, you know, and the bullet holes was in the wall, and they would be able to take a straw, and they would be able to pull it from one hole to the other, and from the other hole to the other, and it would look like, you know, a big old straw castle, and they would say, okay, what happened was Pookie was on the floor. He leaned to the right, he dug in his butt, pulled out a gun, he shot it sideways, it ping-pong off the refrigerator, hit a cube of ice, bounced off the bear, hit the snake, and went into his left arm. I mean, I'll be looking like, okay, how did you come up with that? Again, playing God. And then we'll get a jury up there that'll say, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, guilty. I mean, we have to be a little bit more realistic in the things that we absorb and we take. No differently than you impanel a jury, and we as the people, we should be informed and educated, which is why we have this show. We want you to be educated and know for yourself, because you're going to be used to do some dirty work if you don't. I'll give you an example. You're going to go out there and work and give a debt collector your money because they're pretending to be a creditor. So you're doing their dirty work. Why? What's their dirty work? They don't want to work for a living. They want to send you some letters that they know you don't understand because you're too busy working, and you're going to pay them. And they're going to call somebody with a slippery tongue, and they're going to talk you into not necessarily telling you to do it, but making it sound like it's an order. But then at the end of the day, they're going to say, we didn't make you do it. Don't that sound familiar? Isn't there a group of people out there that do that? Make it sound like you have to do it, but you really don't? What do you think you go to court with a debt collector on? Their communication, right? Because their communication sounds like you have an obligation to do something, but then somebody's going to come in and try to defend that corporation and say, well, that's not what it said. Well, that's not what they implied. Or how do you know what they implied? So we as a people, we'll go down and let's just take for instance, we'll sit on a jury in a traffic court case and not know what a motor vehicle means, not know what a driver means, not know what a person means, not know what an individual means. Most people don't understand that. Most of y'all on the show don't know what a consumer means, don't know what a debt collector means, didn't know what a creditor means, didn't know what a debt collector meant, didn't know what a debt was. Is that right? So imagine if you sat on a jury with the knowledge that you had prior to coming to Thor or anywhere else you may have gotten introduced to the information. Imagine if you would have sat on a jury in that mental condition before coming into the awareness of what things were as it relates to consumers, you would have sat on a jury and you would have convicted Layla of owing a debt. Why? Because the
people that impaneled the jury didn't really tell you what it was, did they? They relied upon what? Your ignorance of the law. So they got a group of 6 to 12 people that didn't know what things were, and you did their dirty work. You found Layla guilty of owing a debt because you didn't know what a debt was. You didn't know what a debt collector was. You just heard, I know people call me all the time on my bills. I pay my bills on time every month. Layla should pay hers too. You guilty. That's what happens every day. So Layla goes off and has to pay this debt collector all this money. And at the end of the day, if you say, well, you are responsible for explaining to me or making me understand what the law meant. No, that's not. Ignorance of the law is no defense. You're the people. You're presumed to know the law. You're presumed to know what your role is as a consumer because you do it every day. So they're going to put it back on you, said you did the dirty work. We didn't do it. You, the jury, found them guilty. What are they going to say? A jury of your peers. And sometimes peers are just as ignorant as you. So the purpose of our show, if we can get one or two people to understand what consumer means, what debt collection means, what debt means, what your responsibility are as a consumer, what their responsibilities are, behavior and conduct of you and the debt collector or the creditor. Now when you get a jury together, there'll be a Layla on that jury to say, y'all don't understand. That's not a creditor. That's a debt collector. And they're going to look at her. If it's 12, 11, they're going to look, well, Layla, what are you talking about? Y'all don't understand. Let me show you what a consumer is. Let me show you what a debt collector is. Let me show you what a debt is. So Layla educates the rest of the jury. And the jury turns around because, let me look at another angle. The jury has all the power in the world. A jury is the most powerful group of who? Not governors, not politicians, not police officers, not senators. A group of what? People. Not a group of titles. A group of people are the most powerful in the world. A grand jury. So stop believing that somebody has all power and authority over you. You have power and authority over yourself. And when the people come together, which is why we have this radio show, there is power in that. Which is why we keep saying, read your Constitution sometime. Read your commercial constitution, the FDCPA, the FCRA, the TCPA, your consumer protection laws. Those are your consumer constitution, so to speak. Because if you don't know, you're going to look at somebody or you're going to convict somebody or you're going to believe something just to enrich somebody else, either the debt collector or someone else. If you're sitting on a panel and they're telling you, oh, he was driving and he was speeding or he had a motor vehicle and you don't know the legal definition of a motor vehicle, then who's doing the dirty work? The people. And do they have plausible deniability? Yes. And he said, well, I didn't do it. You know, a jury of your peers found you guilty. Well, you were supposed to tell them that a motor vehicle is 10,001 pounds or more. No, we're not supposed to tell them anything. Ignorance of the law is no defense. Y'all got to understand what's going on. So when you hear things like, oh, well, the biggest threat are a certain group of people, no, certain group of people are just waking up. They're trying to understand what really is going on. They're now trying to understand the third language that they're accountable for, that they were never taught in school. Where did y'all learn in school the consumer protection laws. I didn't have that course. Did you, Layla?
No, I didn't.
But you, like me, when I went to college, they had all the credit card companies on campus, did they not?
They sure did.
Okay, then. So we have to get out of this brainwashing that everything that mainstream media or any or even politicians say is true. Because who benefits from keeping you in the blind? Well, the credit card companies that was on campus. They handed you a pretty brochure for Visa, but they didn't hand you a copy of the FDCPA, did they? No, they did not. When you went to college, they didn't teach you about that either, right? No, they didn't. So y'all have to be careful with that. We're a threat to the debt collectors. So that, are you going to say, oh, you know, they said Thor was over there, you know, teaching people how to get out of debt. And what's wrong with that? Thor teaches you to pay your legitimate debts and don't pay anybody you don't owe. They'll just turn around and make that into something negative if you allow them to. They'll call you a debt elimination company. See, that has a negative connotation to it. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Be careful with labels and how they label people. You don't have to judge people by their actions, by their character. They can make something negative out of anything if it's waking people up by large amounts. When the gig is up, some people get nervous when you've wallowed or marinated yourself in wrong for so long. You saying the very people that give you the power becomes a threat when all they're doing is using the same thing you use in a manipulative, abusive way. Now they're a threat. Some of them are because they have information and anger. Yeah, those are. They need a timeout. They need to sit down. But then there's some that just don't. So you can't lump everybody together. I don't see any reason anybody teaching you, even if it was legal. And obviously, again, they said this gentleman filed lien. So obviously there's a process for it. But obviously he's one that shouldn't have that process or shouldn't have known about it. All right. Let me stop rambling or preaching. As y'all know, this coming Saturday and Thursday, Thor is back at it. We have a couple of webinars. Thursday, we'll be doing webinars on bank statements and Dunning letters, how much money you have laying around in the house, how much money you got this week, but you didn't count it as a check. We're going to show you where you have some money laying around legally. You don't have to lean on somebody to get it. Thursday at 8 to 10. If you're not on the email list, you can contact debtshow@yahoo.com. For some of you that don't know, maybe listening to us for the first time, we provide some very good information and material. If you want to take things into your own hand as it relates to debt and consumer protection, we can share with you some ways to do that that may be beneficial for you. We can't promise you any results because, as you know, everybody does things differently or don't do them correct. But I think by now y'all should know that we know how to do what we do, what we do. Saturday, foreclosure webinar. I'm just going to say this, and please don't think that I'm being arrogant or cocky or anything like that. Brother Sharif gives out information I don't think you'll get anywhere else. And that's because I don't think many others have had the experiences that I've had. Of course, everybody has different experiences. But again, you can have 10 restaurants cooking the same thing, and you're going to like one restaurant for the way that they cook their meals. The seasoning, the simplicity of it, the way it's delivered, the way it's explained, the way it's interpreted. If any of you have been to our webinars, you don't bring a spoon to our webinars. We don't serve any dessert. You bring a fork and a knife because we give you nothing but meat. If you want fancy dressing and lettuce and tomatoes and trees and other decorations around your consumer protection meal, then our webinars is not for you. If you want a scenic route around the information, or you want to be in a library just reading a bunch of stuff, our webinars is not for you. I'm just being honest with you. We give the information out. We put it out there, and we put it out there to the point where people take it and they're repackaging it and selling it, and we got resellers that never really came and bought the product. We don't care. We're fulfilling our obligation to the universe, and that's it. Our blessings don't come necessarily from you, but for you. Saturday, 10 to 2. If you're out there in a foreclosure and you don't know what you're doing, or I say this respectfully, if you have a guru that is helping you, or you're doing something that is not working, you need to be at that webinar Saturday. Layla or anybody else in this call, and you can press one if you're in the call queue, and you've been to any of my webinars, y'all know I just don't do a bunch of talking. I give it to you. And I give you what I know you need. Might not be everything. So much you can do in a limited amount of time. But I give it to you. And I'm going to share with you some things that I know is not being done. If you want to have a chance at all to defend your property, and you're in foreclosure or expecting foreclosure, you need to be at that webinar Saturday, I'm telling you. If you've been for a while and done some things that is not working, or need to undo some things or put some things into proper perspective, you need to be at that webinar on Saturday. That's all I'm going to tell you. By now, y'all should know. That's all I need to tell you. Thor doesn't put on webinars just because. As information changes and certain strategies and tactics come to fruition or come to life, you have to update and you have to add information to other good information. to increase its durability and its effectiveness. So this will not be a webinar like any other foreclosure webinar that is on the list. This is different. It comes by request, and it comes by what I've been seeing and hearing about the ways people are handling or not handling these alleged foreclosures. So again, y'all know our events fill up pretty quick. You can email debtshow@yahoo.com. We will try to get it on the website, so you can just go ahead and reserve your seat there. I'll try to get that done by tomorrow, but if not, you need to just email and reserve your seat for this coming Saturday, August 16th, 2014, foreclosure webinar. So, be in the house. And by the way, I'm going to say this again, and I say it out of pure respect. If you have somebody that you're learning from, that you're listening to, that you consider subject matter relative on a particular topic, and you feel they need a little bit more information, a little bit more strategy and tactic, I don't care who they are, invite them. I'm not saying you can't get information from any other source. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. But I definitely have to be real that everybody has their purpose. My purpose is to share things that I know will give you a better opportunity or may advance you across that finish line in dealing with that type of situation. So that's all I have to say on that.
Hey, I've got one thing I want to add just real quick on that, if I may.
You go right ahead.
Right on. I just want to, you know, leave my testimony or testament or testify, however you guys need to term it and word it and digest it. But let me just say this. Whenever I started listening to Brother Sharif and then joining up with him, I had a simple understanding or base, if you will, of the FDCPA. However, I didn't have clarity, really good clarity, that allowed abstract logic to be utilized. And with this, that is what you need, the clarity. You know, whenever you read something, sometimes it just lays there, and it allows it to lay dormant in your mind and in your spirit and in your execution, because you don't have clarity. You're not allowed to have that abstract logic in being able to put it and utilize it to, to the application of either your foreclosure or even just a simple, you know, debt collection, if you will. But these webinars and every time I listen and join our whole community and in coming to learning and understanding, I grow to another level of clarity, and I grow to another level of being able to have applied knowledge. And I can't even put a value on that. That's something that will carry me through my life, and it's something that I'm able to educate my children and my loved ones and my friends. You can't put a value on that. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there for those who, you know, question or whatever. You owe it to yourself, and especially if you're in foreclosure, because I listened to many a here and there's and Johnny Come Lately there for a while, and oh my goodness, you know, just stop in the middle of the road and get a hold of yourself and put your hair up and kick your feet up, because this is the answer. All right. So there you go. Just saying.
All right. Thank you. That was surprising.
Yeah.
Testimony from one of the Taurines. And that wasn't rehearsed. And no, I didn't email or text and say, hey. I mean, people take what they get from it. Teaching is definitely an art, and effective teaching is a gift. And I'm not saying that you can't get information from anywhere else, and I'm not saying that you might not have been introduced to the information somewhere else, but somehow it just didn't stick. No differently than some restaurants I go to and I leave, and an hour later, I'm still hungry. You understand? It's not that I didn't eat food, but then you can go to other restaurants and you eat, and you're like, wow, I'm full. So that's just life. I think everybody has their purpose, and I think you can have dual purposes. You can be taking in information from a variety of places, but if you want to come to a place where the information is being delivered in a way that it sticks with you, and you just not only hear it and forget about it later, but you hear it and you'll be able to go demonstrate what it is you've heard. And that's just something that you owe to yourself. There are certain people that I can listen to and certain people that I can't. Doesn't mean that they're not effective. It just means that their way of teaching or bringing information is not effective for me. So I appreciate Laurie saying that. And many of you have said that, which is why I do them. I don't do them because I have to, because really I don't. Okay, there's some people that live off of doing those for some reason. I don't. And my team will tell you straight up, I do not. Really don't have time. I make the time. I'm on this show because of you. You know, we were delayed here in doing the show. If I didn't get 20-something emails, are y'all coming on today? I need my Thor dose. I need Thorology. I mean, those are the things that make us come on here and do this show, because you showed up here. It's free. And we're not like other places is doing a webinar every doggone day, so we're not doing it for financial gain, obviously. I mean, we all know you can go out there and pay $2,000 to $3,000 for a webinar and leave there and still have to go somewhere else and get the information. So, you know, we do it for the people. That's why we're here. We're people too. I've always said that when I teach, I also teach myself, because I believe the Creator speaks through me, and I'm able to learn even when I talk, because I absorb so much that it stays within, but when it comes out, it's a lesson to me as well. So we'll see you Saturday. Thursday, we're doing the Dunning Letters and Statements. And again, I'll say to that, you might think you know a Dunning Letter. You might think you know what type of violations may be in your midst. But unless you get it the Thor way, you might think you have $1,000 violations. Thor might be able to teach you how that might be five. And we are known for doing that. We are known for being able to find multiple ways for you to collect on any damages you sustain on behalf of a debt collector. That's it. That's just what we do. That's why we stay in one lane. We're not over here talking about this and over here talking about that and trying to be a master at this and try, you know, y'all been at places where they think they own the information highway. They created it. We veer off a little bit, talk about economics. We did a Friday show, Free Your Mind Friday. We talk about a lot of different things, but we're, you know, we may go about a mile off the road, but, you know, we always turn around and come right back, get in our lane.
So many times, in order for you to talk extensively on something, you have to really study it and research it before you going out there and placing those things into the atmosphere. So let's talk about some recent news, and I'm going to get into something that is going to kind of make you understand why you need to start taking serious your education. Again, it's impossible for us to really teach you effectively on Thor. On Blog Talk, we are not teaching you. We are providing you information. We're talking about things. We're touching on things. But if you really want to get into the educational part of it, you have to really attend our webinars when and if we hold them. Or you could obtain some webinars that has already been done from the website. And I advise that you do that if you're serious. Because you being a consumer is not going away anytime soon. I don't care if you have no debt, you're still a consumer, period. All right? You're still a consumer. Let's see some recent news here. Lori, did you have anything? I have. What I am going to go over is the Akron situation, but other than that, was there anything else you wanted to bring to the table, you or Layla?
Yeah. I wanted to just bring up real fast for those of you who like to follow things or you know, get up to date on things. Do y'all remember when we were talking about the Crawford LVNV case, the Chapter 13 guy, who the trustee, the judge, and the lawyer, all of them, you know, didn't realize he was, they had filed proof of claim on the time-barred debt, right?
Time-barred debt,
and,
yeah.
Right. Remember that deal? Well,
and they sent that poor man all the way up to the appellate court saying that they can file a debt that's 4 years stale. 9 years old and 4 years past the statute of limitations, and those so-called jurists came to the decision that, yeah, well, a debt collector can file a proof of claim on a four-year-old stale, a nine-year-old debt from the time of default and 4 years past the statute of limitations, and they dismissed this case saying that, no, they can do that. So he went up to the appellate court, came back down, and the appellate court just said, you know, I don't know what y'all smoking down there. But no, that is not acceptable. So they remanded the case back to the same nice people that made that stupid decision. And so what happened now?
So now, you know, they went ahead and they all that went down. So now LVMV is doing an I don't know how you pronounce it, in bank or en banc or however, Mont Blanc. They're doing a deal where, you know, you go in front of a, instead of it going in front of a panel or however, you can probably explain it a whole lot better than I can. But before, in other words, you know, before the entire bench rather than a panel to review the opinion, the decision, the whole deal. Anyway, I just found it interesting and was like, look at these cats. Everybody just getting crazy. Going one more time.
One more time. I tell you that's just to me. I mean, to put that man through that, okay? And probably took him a year or more for his case to be held in the appellate court. Probably cost him a lot of money. I don't know if he was pro se or he had an attorney. Did he have an attorney, Lori?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and look at it. Man, it wouldn't be sweet if he didn't. But he probably did. I don't remember.
Okay. For those of you that don't know in the audience, when they say an in-bank hearing, okay, in-bank, it's funny they use the word bank. We'll talk about that another session. But in law, in-bank session is where a case is heard before all the judges of the court. So the judge, the lawyer, opposing counsel, the trustee, they have an in-bank session. in bank is usually in judges' quarters, and they kind of talk behind doors about what's going on. Y'all see that in the movies or some of these shows. The judge will go back there and take off the robe and have his suspenders on, or if it's a female judge, she'll have a nice little Jonesboro suit or whatever y'all call it on, and, you know, she kind of flips off the costume and do what we call real talk. So that's what's going on there in bank, and it's probably in bank because they just don't want this type of foolishness to continue to play out in the case where you're allowing a debt collector to file a proof of claim on a stale debt of 9 years old and 4 years past the statute of limitations. Like, these are the type of cases where you just, again, this is where we talk about oppression and abuse, okay, from people that is supposed to protect you from oppressive debt collectors or creditors. There's laws for that. So the law is that there's a statute of limitations and you can't do what you're doing beyond the statute of limitations. How could anybody come up with an alternative answer to that and allow somebody to do something that the law clearly, now I can see if it was something that, you know, the founding fathers said 2 million years ago, and then we still have people that interpret that. But this was real simple. Statute of limitations is on this date. You're not one day over, right? You file your taxes one day late, right? They're just going to hit you with penalties as if you're two months late. Doesn't matter, right? Really doesn't. So you got a debt collector. It wasn't one day late filing to pass the statute of limitation. They were 4 years. That means this man had a blemish on his credit, and by the time they were trying to collect it, it had been off his credit 2 years. Ridiculous. But he had to go to the appellate court and make them tell the trial court employees to do their job. I'm sure it didn't take them long to look at that case. I'm really sure. I'm sure that was the quickest remand and turnaround in history. There are some cases that are complex. That is not one of them. Anything else from the research ministry?
No, I'm good. I just whenever I read that update on that, I literally laughed. I mean, I was, like I say, I was laughing till the tears were running down my leg. I was just laughing till I was crying. So anyway, carry on. All good.
Indeed. All right, y'all in the chat, you can throw your questions out. We appreciate all of you. Zaya, Mr. Plani, No Straw, Law 6, Abdul, and all the many guests that are in there, welcome to Thor Radio Network. We're not done. We still have our Thor trivia that's coming up. Some more Thorology to give you. I'm going to take a 30-second break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to gather these Dunning letters. You can call in right now. Well, we got a lot of people in queue. We appreciate you holding on. We're going to get into the calls, questions, but right now, 657-383-0332, 657-383-0332 is a calling number. Press *1 or press 1, I'm sorry. And you can be placed in queue. If you're in queue now, we're doing Thor trivia. So we're not necessarily doing questions. Now, I know I'm going to be real right now. I know some of y'all are like, well, I've been waiting in the queue. I'm not getting out, Brother Sharif, and lose my place. Some people came late. I acting serious like they having a sale at Walmart, and they like, we ain't going to open. I've been here since 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not moving. I understand. I understand that. But we are going to have to go to the line for the audience to be able to participate in Thorology.
and be able to answer these questions as it relates to their opinion on possible violations that may be in these Dunning letters that were sent in by certain members and listeners. So if I come to your line and you're not participating, I'll just put you back on hold. That way you won't lose your place. Okay? So I'm going to be fair with that. So that should handle that. But I'm going to pick a couple of letters. I'll try to get all of them if I can. It's 3 o'clock. We've been on 2 hours. Here we got time. And we're going to get to these letters, have some fun with it, give you opportunity to demonstrate your knowledge of the consumer protection laws to see if you're learning anything. Because if you're not learning anything, then that's a problem for us. That's a problem for me personally, because I don't want you to spend 2 or 3 hours listening to me, and I really think I kind of lay it out there to where people could get it. So if you're not picking up on things, then I want to know. That's not acceptable to me. My ministry will tell you straight up. I challenge them. Okay, so every day I get an opportunity to talk to you, I expect them to take that knowledge, apply it, and I keep them on the spot. Trust me. Right, Layla? Right, Lori?
Absolutely. Stick with native press. Oh, yeah.
I don't cease being a lion because I'm with them. They're lionesses, so y'all just go pull up YouTube and pull up lions and lionesses and just see the relationship, and y'all will understand what I'm talking about. But, yeah, we're going to do a 30-second break, get those letters out, and we're going to go forward for the next half of the show. So get in queue, 657-383-0332. All right, and we'll be right back.
Get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love.
trivia. We're back. Let's see what lucky members or listeners are going to have their Dunning letters read. I'm telling y'all this time, we announced it last week. We didn't get any. Y'all were on it this time. I got a bunch of them. Some people turned in two or three. Y'all serious. I'm going to try to get to a few of them. For those of you that don't know what a Dunning letter is, okay, well, as you know, N-I-N-G, the ing, just an additive to a noun or verb. Done, to done, means to make persistent demands from someone. Okay? Specifically, like a demand for payment. That's what done, D-U-N, means. So when you add the ing to it, then you're just dunning. You're demanding. You have the word drive. You have driving. Do you drive? Yes. Are you driving? Yes. Just wanted to break it down. That's all. So the done means to make demands of somebody. And it's a financial demand. So that's what debt collectors do. They done you. That is a word that's commonly used specifically for debt collectors, although it can be used with creditors. Creditors would not necessarily make a demand of you. With creditors, you are obligated to do something. Okay.
I would tell everybody, look up the word demand. Don't mean to cut you off, but I would say look up the word demand. The first time I looked that up, I was like, huh? Just throwing that out there. You made me think of that.
Okay. I know you always do that to me. Okay, let's look up the word demand. A demand is an insistent and peremptory request made as if by right. Okay? It's an insistence, request made as if by right. So I'm glad Lori brought that up because we have to get more into etymology and understanding what words mean because we're dealing with language every day. When you receive a communication from a debt collector or anybody else, there's the language that they speak. If you go into court, they speak legalese. Okay? You may think you know the meaning of a word, but it may mean something totally different. Now, I know many of you, all right, and the reason why Lori points these things out is because people become aware and conscious of what's going on. I know most of you had probably thought up to this point that a demand was something you had to do. I demand you to go sit down. But as Thor just showed you, a demand is a request. So, when you take a demand from somebody and you do it, and you try to come back and say, no, you demanded me to do it. He said, no, yeah, well, yeah, I did demand you to do it. Well, then you made me do it. And he's going to say, no. And then before somebody, they don't know what they're talking about. A demand means to make, that means you got to do it. Y'all know where that word demand is commonly used. Now you know what it means. It's a request made as if by right. Write that one down. All right. Let's go. Dunning letters. Let me see. Let me pull up a few here. Let me see. Layla, you sent some in, but you're a part of it.
Oh, no, go to the for family. Let them have their letters read because it's really important for them.
All right. Well, that, well, we appreciate that, Layla, and thank you very much. All right. Let's go with my... let's go with and I'm sorry, I'm just trying to pull them up here. Let's go with one from Brother Joe. We don't give last names here. We appreciate anonymity at Thor. So we got a dunning letter here from Shapiro and Engel. They're attorneys. So it's a law firm here. Pretty letter. Really nice. From a law firm. Dated December 4th, 2013. To this consumer. And it's a foreclosure letter. And it says, original mortgagors, Mr. and Ms. Consumer, property address, our file number, and it has a number next to it. And right there at the top of the letter, in bold letters, meaning that they understand the importance of it, it says, notice required by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, 15 U.S.C., Section 1692 ETSEQ. It says the law firm of Shapiro has been retained to initiate a foreclosure proceeding to foreclose the mortgage on the above referenced property. The following information is provided to you as required by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. The lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $75,000 as of December 7th, 2013. The creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America N.A. as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust Company, formerly known as Bankers Trust Company of California, N.A., as trustee for the holders of the Vindy Mortgage Trust 2002-1. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act entitles you to dispute the debt or any portion thereof within 30 days of your receipt of this letter. The law also entitles you to request that we provide you the name of the original creditor if the original creditor is different from the current creditor, Bank of America, N.A., as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust Company, for the trustee for the holders of the Vindy Mortgage Trust 2002-1. If you choose to dispute the debt or any portion thereof, or if you choose to request the name of the original creditor, you must notify us within 30 days of the date you received the letter. If you do not dispute the debt within this period, it will be assumed to be valid by this office. If you notify us in writing within 30 days of the date you received this letter that you dispute the debt or any portion thereof, or if you notify us in writing within 30 days of the date you received this letter, you want to know the name of the original creditor, if that creditor is different from Bank of America, as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust for the trustee of the holder Vindy Mortgage 2002-1, then we will obtain and mail to you verification of the debt and or the name and address of the original creditor. A whole lot of dizziness in this letter. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act does not require that we wait until 30 days from the date you received this letter before initiating a foreclosure proceeding. In the event we do initiate a foreclosure proceeding on your mortgage within 30 days from the date you received this letter, you still retain the right to dispute the debt or any portion thereof. And you also retain the right to request the name of the original creditor if the original creditor is different from the current creditor, Bank of America, N.A. as services agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust. Y'all know the rest. If you request in writing the proof. Oh, my goodness. Like, did they repeat that like five times, Joe? Like, who wrote this letter? Okay. Please be advised that if your personal liability for this debt has been discharged in a bankruptcy proceeding, the notice is provided solely to foreclose the mortgage remaining on your property and is not an attempt to collect the discharge personal obligation. Because of interest, late charges, and other charges that may vary from day to day, the amount due on the day you pay may be greater. Hence, if you pay the amount shown above, an adjustment may be necessary after we receive your check, in which we will inform you before depositing the check for collection. For further information, write the undersigned or call this number. All right. I'll be damned. That's a long, redundant, effort-duplicating letter to spin your behind around and make you fall on the floor. But at any rate, that's the letter. I would read it again, but it's too doggone long. At the end of it, it says, pursuant to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you are advised that our office may be deemed the debt collector. Any information obtained can be used for that purpose. So at the top, they say, okay, all right, so we're going to see how much the audience knows based on that letter, see if they can point out any violations. Layla, you want to write them down. Now, when we open up your line and you chime in on what you think may be or may not be violations, there may not be any in there. You write it down. So if one of the callers says this, you can't turn around and say the same thing. You have to say something different. So we're just not getting a bunch of calls about the same answer. All right? You're only allowed one violation, so you can give others an opportunity in case there are multiple violations. You only get one. Pick out one violation so everybody will have an opportunity to. Some of you may call and have a different discernment of the letter. As long as it's not the same as the previous person, we're fine. All right? So we're going to go to the caller line, 657-383-0332. I'm going to start out with 310-0508. You're on Thor Trivia. Did you want to chime in on any possible violations on that Dunning letter? 310-0508. Going once, going twice. Come on. 1111111. You're on Thor Trivia. Do you have a comment on the Dunning letter? 1111. Your line is open. All right. A bunch of sleep people in here. 412-1568. I know you got a comment on it. What's going on?
You know it's over on this line.
I know you're going to break it down. Break it down, bro. Tell me what you think.
Well, I got a phone call while you were reading it. But the first thing I noticed when it said original creditors. So okay. I think that's a violation because I don't believe they're the original creditor. And, you know, they're saying that they're a debt collector at the same time. And when you were saying something to the fact that you have to respond within 30 days, I think that's a violation also. And that's as far as I got.
Okay, so you feel it's a violation because they said original creditor, but they said debt collector. Well, they just named who the original creditor was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I don't think that's a violation.
I mean, they have to tell you.
I thought it said the original creditor is bringing the suit.
Okay, let me go back at it to make sure that we're understanding it correctly. It says original mortgagors, and then it has the original creditor's name.
But it says
the lender retained them to initiate foreclosure proceedings to foreclose the mortgage on the above property. It says the lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $75,000. It says the creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank Trust as trustee for the holders of the Vendee Mortgage 2002-1.
Okay.
So it said if you notify us in writing within 30 days, but it also said notify us within 30 days that you have received this letter that you dispute the debt or any portion thereof, then they will mail you back the name of the original name and address of the original creditor. So what do you think is a violation within that?
Well, it said notify us in writing. That's a violation. I think you can dispute it. I think you can dispute it, but it doesn't have to be in writing. So I have to go look at that. And they also said that
we'll mark that down.
It said the original creditor.
And you think it's something wrong by saying the original creditor?
There's something definitely wrong with that because they sold the debt, so they're out of the picture. And Deutsche Bank.
Why do you say they sold the debt?
Well, they're the originator. Okay, you have originator, you have a sponsor, depositor, and you have a trustee. Okay, the originator sold the note, so they're out of the picture. They're no longer in the picture at this point. They sold it, so the original creditor has already been paid. From my studying, all right. Number two.
Well,
Deutsche Bank.
I don't know. Let me make sure you're understanding it right. In reading the letter, it's telling you who all the parties are. It's saying that the creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America, N.A., as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank, for the certificate holders of the trust, the RIMIC. That's the only creditors it's naming. So, you know, I have to disagree with you there that, you know, it's naming somebody else. They're naming all the parties from origination.
Okay, but then they're creditors, though, because they got the debt, you know, when it was in default. So that makes them a debt collector. Because usually what
How did you arrive at that?
Okay, usually what happens is they don't get an assignment until you're like 90 days past due. And then what they'll do is the servicer, they'll make up an assignment. And
okay, I'm with you on that, but what I'm saying is I'm with you on that, but you're making assumptions right now, though, because I don't see an assignment, and I don't see where they're saying that it's in default, although it's presumed to be in default because they've been retained to initiate foreclosure. So it's in default, but that doesn't say that when it got in default, and it doesn't allude to me to say that it was transferred to somebody. So we just have to go based on what the letter says. We have to dissect that because we're not privy to an assignment if there was one. They're saying that the original party is the trust, and the trust is owed money is what they're saying. So they're not saying they did an assignment. The loan is in default. This is a default notice or a notice of intent to bring a foreclosure proceeding, which is an attempt to collect the debt. So we agree with that. But we don't know if there was an assignment done while in default. So I have to disagree with you on that one. But I get your point. I'm going to write down, they said they had the dispute in writing, so I'm going to write that one down. As far as the creditor is concerned, I don't see where they've mentioned that some other creditor is involved.
Okay, well, they're attempting to collect the debt. So,
indeed.
You know, From what I'm hearing you saying, I don't know if it's one of those A something. That I don't know if it's which one it is because I have to see. I don't know it by heart, but I have to see it. So I mean, they're coming as a debt collector. So you know that means they got it in default if they are in fact a debt collector. They got it while it was in default. They're, you know, from their own admission.
They said we may be debt collectors, and they put it right here on bold on the top. Said look. Notice is required by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So, I mean, they gave you enough indication of who they are. All right? All right, brother. Well, we'll take that. We'll note that down. Layla, you got that? They said, all right. So, appreciate you, brother, and just listen in. Appreciate you participating, huh?
Brother, can you give me the first three and last four of the numbers on that, the call on?
1568, 412-1568.
Okay, thank you.
That's my man. He's a regular. All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. We'll come back to you if you got any questions after we do throw a trivia. We're going to go to the lines, all right?
Okay.
All right. All right, 610-1094. You're on Thor Trivia. Do you have – that's you?
Yes. Hello. Yes, I heard you say in the beginning that they have their own account number for their purposes. Is that correct?
Okay. All right.
So that'd be I'd say that's a violation of 1692E.
You're going to say that them naming their own account number is a violation of 1692E? E what?
Yep.
To be more specific.
E1, E2, it's pretty false and misleading.
Tell us what that is.
Oh, well, I have no idea who they are, so they're telling me they have some account with me, but I've never seen that account number in my life. I've seen other ones, but I've never seen that one, so that's pretty false or misleading, and I'm a least sophisticated consumer, so I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
All right. I like that. So, you know, and let me look at this letter again and make sure that there's no reference to any other account number.
Yeah, I didn't hear a reference to any
I just see our file number. All right. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you can write that down. And you're going to go along with that being a violation. Layla, you wrote that down?
I did. And I just want to say to the Thor audience, we haven't seen these Dunning letters. I did send one in, but we're listening to these Dunning letters just like you're listening to them as well. So, and I
and
would
that's the best way to listen to them, somebody saying it to you instead of reading it. So you should be able to spot these things by ear, not by sight. That's somewhere in the Bible, isn't it? I don't know.
If you buy a computer, you should have your 15 USC 1692 up. You should have your 15 USC 1681 up. You should have your
commercial Bible, FDCPA up, and you should be reading, listening to the letter, and seeing if you can ascertain any violations, if it may not be any. All right? All right, so the gentleman, you said 1692E, but you didn't tell me what subparts of 1692E you think it's a violation of. 1692E is false and misleading representations.
Right.
I have
exactly.
1 and 2. Is that what you said?
Yes, correct.
Okay, let's read 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is a false representation or implication that the debt collector is vouched for, bonded by, or affiliated with the United States or any state, including the use of any badge, uniform, or facsimile. I don't think that applies.
No.
2 is the false representation of the character, amount, or legal status of any debt. So account number, would that be the character, the amount, or
that's
legal
it.
Status? Huh?
Well, I mean, it has to do with the – all I'm saying is that it is false and misleading, so it's a violation of 1692.
Okay, so you're going to just go with E, that it's false or misleading statements. All right, let's put that down, Layla. Let's go with that. I can understand that. I'll go with you. All right. We're going to go 1692E. Appreciate that, brother. We'll come back to you, all right, if you had any questions.
Thank you.
Thanks for participating. All right, let's go to 202-2218. You're on Thor Trivia. Do you have a comment on the Dunning letter?
Well, my question was in regards to foreclosure. You know, that has to be specific to the Dunning letter? Or can it be
an
overall question?
If you got another question, I'll just put you on hold. We'll come back to you as soon as we finish the trivia.
Yeah. I'll just come back to me then. We'll put you on hold.
Okay, brother. Thank you. All right. All right, wait a minute. Let me get a Yama in there. Yama, say hello right quick so we can finish Thor Trivia. I didn't see you there, but I just wanted to acknowledge you. You there, y'all?
Yeah.
You got the line open?
Shalom, yes. I was
shalom,
on mute.
Peace.
Very interesting. I'm enjoying it. When you were saying about the Dunning letter, when you were reading it, what came to my mind was the amount. How could you just say $75,000 that a person owe on a mortgage? Doesn't it have to be exact?
Well, how do we not know it's exact, Mother?
Because he said he would add additional fees in there based on, you know. you had said it's $75,000, and he said, and you know, additional fees might be added based on or taken away or added, and
that's
oh,
a shame.
Wow,
boy.
I like it.
That's a shame. That's a shame that Yamar coming in with the hammer. Yamar
well,
coming
you know.
In with the hammer. Y'all quiet out there. We got three people in the line answering, and Yamar coming in with the hammer talking about, well, wait a minute. Hi, he said an amount, but then he said there might be some additional fees added.
Yes.
Yamar, you're ridiculous. I'm serious. Ridiculous.
Oh, you know, when you're teaching and when you're giving out truth, I try to maintain it. And so as you were reading the Dunning letter, things are going through my mind. I said there's a whole lot wrong with it, but I know that money amount is definitely wrong.
Well, we'll see if you're right, Yamar. But love you indeed, and
yes.
We're going to get to the answer now. We don't have any more callers. I'm going to let my Thorines come in and see if they can point out something other than what was said, and then we're going to get to the answer. But I'm going to open you back up as soon as we finish, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Shalom.
Thank you. Peace. I love the – look, I love – but the elders coming in with the Thor hammers. Elder says something about that, something about them figures just don't add up when he say you're going to add something at the end. I don't know if she's right. I got to see. Layla, Lori, y'all have any, y'all want to chime in on something other than what was heard?
I would like to say that just by listening to the letter that, you know, I listened carefully, and I know, Brother Sharif, you read it twice. You talk about Bank of America, N.A., as the original creditor. Talked as a douche bank as the servicer, a servicing agent of Bank of America with the certificate holders of being the trust. So if this was a foreclosure letter that was sent out, you know, we're taught to identify, and so what I hear in this is that we are potentially dealing with the original creditor. And if this is the original creditor, then and this individual went into default with the original creditor, then they are, in fact, the lender, the mortgagee, the creditor, and would have a right to come and foreclose. That's what I'm hearing. So I don't say that they are a debt collector as such.
Okay, that's a good point. So you don't think you're dealing with a debt collector?
I don't think that we're dealing with a debt collector.
Okay. Do you think anybody within the content and body of that letter is a debt collector?
The attorney, if I heard you correctly, the attorney said that they were acting on behalf of the creditor being Bank of America. So I'm hearing that they are an agent of and handling the affairs as an attorney, although they are not on staff, they are potentially in a liable situation by virtue of what the Yama said. You know, because debt collectors, I mean, don't forget, creditors can still violate the FDCPA as well as debt collectors. So when
and
I
how
hear
can they
that,
do that
letter, I'm sorry?
How can they do that? How can a creditor violate the FDCPA?
The creditor can violate the FDCPA by the way that by how they go about their collection processes. They can violate the FDCPA. So,
give me an example of what type of conduct or behavior a creditor may be able to subject themselves to liability under the FDCPA. Just give me one example.
I guess harassing. Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I was going to say harassing calls.
Okay. Maybe calling you 11 o'clock at night.
Using calling outside the calling time, using an automated dialer. I mean, well, we said the
really?
FDCPA. All right. Wait.
Okay. So what if you're not in default and they're a creditor and they call you at 11 o'clock at night? Do they come subject to the FDCPA?
They become subject to the consumer protection laws under the Telephone Protection Act, so that's the
CCPA.
CCPA,
okay. All right. I'll take that. Is that all you had?
For right now, yeah. I don't have anything else to that right now.
All right, Lori, you had anything?
Yeah, I would have to get back on the 1692E list, which there are several there, and I am with the brother on the 1692E on any false, deceptive, misleading representation, means collection of the debt.
Time out. I thought we weren't supposed to go back over what we heard. I thought we were supposed to find something.
Yeah, you piggybacking. You're not allowed to do that.
Well, no. I'm going to throw a hammer.
Pull out. Get the hammer, Layla.
Hold on.
Give me a hammer. Lori, put your hand out.
Okay. Slap on me, but let me continue after you interrupted me there. Let me finish my whole thought.
I took the hammer. Now let me finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1692, 1692E10, and 1692J, 1692F.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold up now. I got it in my head, but let me see. Okay, you say E. So you're going to go with E2, false representation of the character amount.
Character amount, legal status
of the debt.
Of
okay,
alleged
what
debt.
Character? What character are you saying is a violation?
The character, we don't know what the character is, but they are depicting that the character is in default. They're also depicting that the debt is allegedly owed to them. They're depicting that it's in a trust. They're depicting that it was authorized to be collected by them. It was depicted that. Mm.
All right. What about the amount? So you're just doing character. The amount is fine.
No, the amount's not fine either. They're depicting that I.
Okay,
that
so you're going with Yama on the amount. 000.
That's right. I love that she picked up on that. All of it. The legal
all right,
status.
And you went with an E10 too. And how do you justify E10?
They are using false representations and deceptive means. they're deceptive.
So would you if you had a choice between on any of the E's, would you pick E2 or E10 to best describe what you're saying is a violation?
If I were putting together a complaint, I would go with E2 to be able to easily demonstrate the violation. Yes.
Really? You would go with E2? For which portion?
I would.
For which portion?
Well, I would lay out all of it. I think it applies to all of it. But I would maybe be, because you got to remember, you know, you got to use your strategery there whenever you're communicating to your court. I would dispute the amount. I would say that the amount was depicted inaccurately because how can they prove the amount? They've got about 15,000 people saying that they owned or have owned or touched or did something or squatted here, squatted there. Everybody has a piece of that thing. Who can verify that amount? So that would be an easy target.
Okay. All right. All right, well. That's my Thorine. I'm gonna go ahead. Let's get a little verdict on this. Let me look at it. Let me put the Thor eyes on it. Let me Thor beam it right quick. I'm gonna read it one more time. The law firm of Shapiro has been retained to initiate a foreclosure proceeding to foreclose the mortgage on the above referenced property. The following information is provided to you as required by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. The lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $75,000 as of December 2013. The creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America N.A. as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust Company, formerly known as Bankers Trust Company of California, as trustee for the holders of the Vindy Mortgage Trust 2002-1. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act entitles you to dispute the debt or any portion thereof within 30 days of your receipt of the letter. The law also entitles you to request that we provide you the name of the original creditor if the original creditor is different from the current creditor. Bank of America N.A. as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust, blah, 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 blah. Vindy Mortgage Trust 2002-1. If you choose to dispute the debt or any portion thereof, or if you choose to request the name of the original creditor, you must notify us within 30 days of the date of this letter.
If you do not dispute the debt within this period, it will be assumed to be valid by this office. If you notify us in writing within 30 days that you dispute the debt or any portion thereof, we'll send you a letter to let you know the name of the original creditor, if that creditor is different from Bank of America N.A. as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank, FKA Bankers Trust Company of California, as trustee for the Vindy Mortgage 2002-1. Then we will obtain and mail you verification of the debt and or the name and address of the original creditor. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act does not require that we wait until 30 days from the date you receive this letter to before initiating a foreclosure proceeding. In the event we do initiate a foreclosure proceeding on your mortgage in the 30 days from the date you receive this letter, you still retain the right to dispute the debt or any portion thereof, and you also retain the right to request the name of the original creditor if the creditor is different from Bank of America, and y'all know the rest of it. Down at below, it says, please be advised that if your personal liability for the debt has been discharged in bankruptcy, this notice is provided solely to foreclose the mortgage remaining on the property and is not an attempt to collect the discharged personal obligation. Because of interest, late charges, and other charges that may vary from day to day, the amount due on the day you pay may be greater. Hence, if you pay the amount shown above, an adjustment may be necessary after we receive your check. In the event, we will inform you before depositing the check for collection. All right. Now, I'm going to run down, and y'all need to write it down. I'm going to tell you what I see. And I see a bunch of violations.
Oh, yeah.
So those of you that know Shapiro and Engel, tell them to give me a call. And I'll discuss it with them if they like. But if I receive this letter, it would be Thor time. All right, I'm going to go with my caller, 1512, I believe. He said that he thought it was a violation for his naming the original creditor. I'm going to disagree with that. It seems like they're naming. We can't assume that there was an assignment or was received while in default. Okay? We don't know that it was in default. We do know they gave notice on the top. They said notice is required by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. All right, let's just look at that. And then on the bottom, they said, pursuant to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you advise that our office may be deemed a debt collector. Well, to me, in my opinion, and I'm not saying that's legally grounded, you know whether you're a debt collector or not. Okay? You may be a bird, but are you a bird? I mean, you could be a bird and your wings is underneath your coat. Either you're a bird or you're not. You're misrepresenting me. You say you may be. Well, I mean, are you or are you not? To me, that's deceptive, but that's just something that you can incorporate into a complaint should you do so. I'm going to go with other violations. I'm going to go with my call and say, no, I don't agree with that. When he said dispute in writing, I know where you were going. You were close, but what they said was sort of different. They didn't say you had to dispute in writing. He said, if you notify us in writing, okay? He didn't say you had to notify us within 30 days in writing. So like the other letter that I read of Layla said in writing, that's a violation. But he said, if you do, he first told you that you can dispute it, and he told you what their requirement is once you dispute it, but then he said, if you notify us in writing, which doesn't mean he didn't have to say both. I mean, it's really a lot of overkill on this letter, which can lead to confusion of an unsophisticated, least sophisticated consumer by reading something that you just already said or could have said plainly, or you could have just plagiarized the language in the FDCPA, which is the first paragraph that you said. If you want to dispute, you can dispute, okay, the debt within 30 days. All right? So a lot of overkill, but again, if you're building other violations around it, maybe you can throw that in to see how
this overkill kind of confuse you as to how many different disputes there may be. Well, you're telling me to do it here by law, but then you're telling me if I do it in writing, you act like if I do it in writing, there's another method for you to dispute. That doesn't make sense to me. So if I dispute, whether it's verbally or in writing, you're doing the same thing. So why do you have two different paragraphs talking about disputes? That's confusing. I cannot be confused as a consumer. Just based on that, is that a violation? Not necessarily, okay? Because that can be interpreted and say, well, he's saying the same thing, but I supposed to, look, I just graduated from high school. I don't have any formal education past high school. So me reading those two paragraphs, I can take that as two different ways to dispute. Layla and Lori, can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go into the next part. It says the lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $73,788.14. All right? The lender has advised. Right? At the top, it says the original mortgage yours, and has the consumer's name, has a property address, has our file number, and it has an account number. I don't see any account number that pertains to the alleged account, the mortgage. Okay? I see your file number. Your file number is not an account number or not an account number that I'm familiar with. That's one. Okay? There's no other information on the top about who it is, but you came down and you said the lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $73,788.14. The creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America N.A. as servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Trust Company, formerly known as Trust Company of California, as trustee for the holders of the Vindi Mortgage Trust 2002-1. Now, you said the creditor is Bank of America N.A. as the servicing agent for Deutsche Bank and the trust. Well, how can Bank of America, the servicer, be the creditor? Okay. Then on the first line, you said the lender has advised. So who's the lender? Is lender and creditor synonymous? Okay, so you said lender in the first line, and the second line you say the creditor. So you got the lender has advised, and you have the creditor to whom the debt is owed. Who would be able to differentiate? Any least sophisticated, unsophisticated consumer would be able to say, okay, well, isn't a lender and creditor the same? Okay, to be clear, I believe that you should have said the lender so-and-so, or if it was Bank of America, whoever, has advised that the amount owed is blah, blah, blah. And then you come down and you say, the creditor, or you could have said the creditor has advised. But you use two different names as if they're two different parties. And then you have the creditor is owed to Bank of America, who is obviously the servicing agent for Deutsche Bank National Company, all right, as a trustee for somebody else. That's three different parties in there. So if I'm Brother Sharif or somebody else that has any requisite knowledge of the consumer protection laws, I can just be able to follow the trail, go to the last party and say, okay, well, the creditor is the holders of the Vindi Mortgage Trust 2002-1. But that's not what is said here. It says the creditor is the creditor to whom the debt is owed. Okay? So if you owe a debt to somebody, that has to be the creditor. So that means you're obligated to Bank of America N.A. How can I be obligated to a servicer who's working for somebody else or that person is working for somebody else? That is a clear violation. Clear. You can throw the whole FDCPA at them on that one, okay? But you can definitely do all your 1692E, all right, false representation of the character amount or legal status, and I'm going to say legal status of the debt because it doesn't say that you're in default. It has no mention that you're in default. It just says the law firm of Shapiro has been retained to initiate a foreclosure proceeding to foreclose the mortgage. It could be that I'm current and we just decided to do it. because we don't like you. It doesn't say you're in default. It says the lender has advised that the amount of the debt is $73,000. Well, okay, that could be the full balance. It acts like you're just deciding to foreclose because you want to. It didn't say you're in default to this amount. It has no amount whatsoever that you're in default. That's a violation. Throw the book at them. All your E's and F's.
And J's.
And J's. That's what I was about to say. Okay? So the use of any false representation or deceptive means to collect the debt or any debt to obtain information concerning a customer. This is not a notice of default. All right? When you get into 1692F, unfair practices, a debt collector may not use unfair or unconscionable means to collect the debt. Without limiting the general application, the collection of any amount, any interest fee, charge, or expense. You can even go with F2, the acceptance by a debt collector from any person of a check or other payment instrument postdated by more than 5 days, You can definitely go
Hey, and on that mini Miranda, didn't it say if you choose, it didn't relate it as this is your right, you have the right to dispute. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I was looking at the letter one more time before I said what I had to say. It's confusing. I'm just trying to make sure I would tie in how I would hit it. Yeah, I would definitely just go with, I could definitely do all your E's. Definitely, you can go with your 13 and your threat to take an action you cannot legally take. Right, I would go definitely that direction. I'm just trying to look at this letter. Just y'all give me 1 second. I'm trying to tie something else in that would definitely be kind of firm over here. All right, let me go on to the rest of it, and I'll come back. So it says the creditor to whom the debt is owed is Bank of America N.A. as a servicer. You don't owe a servicer. A servicer works for the principal, works for the creditor, or the lender. You owe the lender. You may pay the servicer if that's how your contract is arranged, but they can't be a creditor. The creditor cannot be Bank of America and then be the trust. That is definitely a violation. Okay? In my opinion. Then it goes and says, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act entitles you to dispute the debt. They were right about that. They said, we got 30 days. All right? If you choose to dispute the debt, now there's nothing wrong with that, Lori. I mean, if you choose to, they kind of rely on you and your conscience about owing the debt when it's not about what you owe or if you owe, but who you owe. And many of us just choose to dive into subject matter when we talk to these people. No, I don't owe that much. No, I don't. I mean, like, I don't know what you're talking about first. Who are you? What debt? From who? No account number. That's a violation. Can I look up the account? Do you expect me to recall an account number that's your file number? No. The two paragraphs about different ways to dispute the debt, I would definitely say that's a violation. Misrepresentation, unfair practices, it's not necessary for you to explain two different ways. I know that I can dispute orally or in writing. I think that would add that to the other violations. Okay? Let's read number 5. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act does not require that we wait until 30 days from the date you received this letter before initiating a foreclosure proceeding. In the event we do initiate a foreclosure proceeding on your mortgage within 30 days from the date you received this letter, you still retain the right to dispute the debt or any portion thereof. Okay? That is a clear violation, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay? You're dealing with a foreclosure. It seems to me they're going to take a judicial action or an action to foreclose. I don't know what state this person is in, whether it's a judicial foreclosure state. If it is, all right, let's say he filed a foreclosure today. He's saying, I don't have to wait. Okay, I can just move on it. I don't have to wait. I'm giving you 30 days to dispute it, but I don't have to wait. All right? Now, how much sense does that make? How are you going to act on something, but you give me 30 days, but you say, I don't have to wait because I'm going to assume that the debt is true, although I'm giving you the opportunity to dispute? Are you kidding me? And let's say you file a lawsuit today, and your answer is required within 21 days, but I still have 30 days to dispute the debt. Do y'all not remember the case that we discussed where the consumer sued the bank for sending a letter similar, giving her 30 days to dispute it? No, rather, they filed the foreclosure case, and on the complaint, they put that this is an attempt to collect the debt. They put the mini Miranda on the complaint and said you have 30 days to respond or to dispute the debt. But per the local rules or the rules of procedure, she only had 21 days to file an answer or otherwise respond to the foreclosure complaint. So she sued and said, well, if I dispute, if I had 30 days, I would already have to file an answer in the court or I would be in default and lose by default. But then I had another 9 days or 10 days to dispute it under the FDCPA, and the court agreed. So how are you going to tell me you can file the FDCPA allows you to take an action within the 30 days? I want this attorney to tell me where he read that. Okay? This is what they could do. Internally, in my belief, if they say that if you don't notify us in 30 days, we're going to presume the debt to be true. That means they can go to whatever next level they intended on taking, pursuing collection. But you can't send out a 30-day notice saying that you got 30 days to decide whether you owe the debt, but then tell me you can start today, assuming that I owe the debt. Absolutely not. Okay? And that clearly, that paragraph there where it says, I want to notify you that the FDCPA says that we don't have to wait. Okay. Well, good. If I was this consumer, when you get in court, I want you to explain that to the judge where you found that in the FDCPA saying you can send out a letter and say you got 30 days, but then I don't have to wait for 30 days. Okay? But let me give you the second part of this that many of y'all wouldn't catch. And what I've always told y'all, I told you at any point in time you can dispute the debt. Did I not? It doesn't matter when. Okay? You can be in the middle of foreclosure and dispute the debt. You can be in the middle of a debt collection case with a credit card company and dispute the debt. Did I not tell you that? Right. Did he not tell you? Well, let's read it. In the event we do initiate a foreclosure proceeding on your mortgage within 30 days, he said that again. If we do foreclose and take the action, although we told you you got 30 days to dispute it, if we go ahead and do it anyway, assuming that what we want to believe is true and nothing that you're going to say really is going to have an effect on what we're doing, then you still retain the right to dispute the debt or any portion. So that means while you're doing your thing, they're telling you, now you hear it from a debt collector firm, that even if you don't do it within the 30 days, you can do it at any time, and we're going to answer it. But I guarantee you they won't. I won't guarantee you. But judging from this letter, it's almost
a given that these people are going to go through and do what they want to do. And from this letter, I'm telling you right now, you dealing with somebody that must have big pockets, and they need to be relieved of some of it. Okay? So you're going to file a foreclosure. I'm going to file a notice of dispute. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stop all collection action, because that's what the FDCPA says, right? You will cease all action if you receive a dispute at any point. He told you right there. If you don't do it in 30 days, and we're already telling you we're going to go ahead and file the foreclosure, you can do it later, and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. Don't bet on that. That's a violation. Okay? It's a violation that you're telling me these three companies, you're telling me the creditor is Bank of America? Bank of America is not the creditor, and I don't have to do any research. I'm just looking at this, and the REMIC is alleged to be the creditor, and I'm going to tell you right now that is not true either. But how can I be indebted to Bank of America as the creditor? Well, who's the lender there? Because you said the lender has advised. Who's the lender? Who's the creditor? And are they one and the same? So just from there, point one to point five, we had about 10 violations at least. You only need one. You only need one. All right? So if you're a hunter, you hunt deer, you shot the deer in the head, that's all it took, but now you just doing target practice. So you got one to the head just from the opening, no account number, your file number. You're saying the amount is this. You're saying the lender. Then you say the creditor. Then you say the debt is owed to Bank of America, but they're servicing for Deutsche Bank. And then Deutsche Bank used to be Bankers Trust. And then Bankers Trust is working as the trustee for the holders of the. Come on, like, really? Like, look, they're offering you money. We got 90 seconds in the live stream. If you want to continue, call 657-383-0332. I want to appreciate y'all in the chat. Y'all really went in with the information. They talking about evidence. They're talking about violations, TCPA. I love it. I'm going to take your questions. Just put them in the chat before it cut off, and then I'm going to talk about it once I finish trivia. All right. 60 seconds, y'all have to call in. So call in right now so you can continue on with the call. All right. Let's go down to what Yama said. My goodness. The elder came in with the – I thought none of y'all were going to get that. The elder came in with something not right with me, son. They got that $73,000 up there, and then they talk about on the bottom. I'm going to read to you what they said. Because of interest, late charges, and other charges that may vary from day to day. And what the hell is that? What varies? The amount due on the day that you pay, well, what day is that? Is it the 30 days? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? What day? On the day you pay may be greater. How much greater? Hence, if you pay the amount shown above, an adjustment may be necessary after we get your money. Oh, my goodness. Like, hey, Joe, look, you got money on the table, bro. Money on the table. Good gosh, the mother said that right. How you going to tell? What amount? You told me to send you $73,800 and something, and you tell me I'm going to send you the check, and I might owe you some more. You're determining what it is. Are you serious? But you told me you going to, when I validate it, of course, if I validate it, you have to have the character amount correct, right? Right? What's the validation of that? Make sure your what you're requesting or demanding is appropriate and correct. Make sure the creditor information is correct. So you're telling me I'm going to send you the check for that amount, and you're telling me it's some other where's the other charges? What contract are you going off of? What law are you using? You said the FDCPA allows you to take an action, although it requires that you wait on taking action for 30 days, but then you said no, it allows me to do them both at the same time contemporaneously.
I can do both. I can decide to go on what I want to believe, or I can wait for you to try to dispute something, but I already believe, based on the amount of money I'm going to get paid taking your property, that it is what it is, and I'm going to move forward on that information. I really don't give a damn what you say. That's what they're really saying. And I know you ain't going to do anything about it, because you're probably not on Thor. But, man, y'all was red on Thor. Woo! Mother Yama was right on after we received your check, in which event we'll inform you before depositing your check for collection. So we'll let you know if you don't owe the amount we said. We might have some other charges you want to add on to it. We don't know what those charges are. It changes from day to day. And no, you wouldn't be able to pick up your mortgage contract or your deed and be able to read what charges we're talking about. Thank you, Sharon. So where would you go? You would go to your contract, right? You would go to your deed or your mortgage, and you would look at it, and you would say, what charges you talking about? How can you send a demand to somebody for money and it doesn't include the amount or specific amount that is owed? You just send your check. We'll figure out if you owe us anything else. Because if you're dumb enough to send us a check, we might as well get some more money out of you. And then, of course, it ends off where we may be deemed a debt collector. Well, I tell you what, if I was going to get a piece of you, I'd make sure you know that you're a debt collector. And trust me, the only people that send out letters like this is a debt collector. Okay? Creditors don't send out letters like that. Creditors know how much you owe them, do they not? I mean, they're in the business of extending credit. You think they can be like, oh, you owe 73, but there might be some other charges on there. We don't know. Let me see what kind of check you got. I mean, really? Where are you at? Ain't North Carolina? Man, oh, man. If they sending out 100 letters like this a month, woo! All right. Throw the book at them. Just get out the whole FDCPA and just do an exhibit and put the whole FDCPA in there as an attachment. Just say they violated everything, including the introduction. They violated everything in there. Everything is wrong with this. Good gosh. Do they not know that Thor Radio Network is in effect? They can't know. Man, I don't even have time to read another letter. We're going to go to questions, because that right there is just that's a goodie right there. Okay. Sharon sent an email and said, look, line 22 of the mortgage, and most of your mortgages say it, your deed of trust, I think line 22, and I think it's the same line 22 on your mortgages. Line 22 of the mortgage statement states that only a lender can follow foreclosure action. Well, that's not necessarily true. Let me correct you. I'm glad I said that, Sharon, because many people have that misconception. A servicer can file a foreclosure for the creditor, for the principal. Okay? They just got to say that that's what they're doing. But a servicer or the lender's agent can take action with respect to a foreclosure or debt collection. Okay? No lender, she said, was listed on the letter. Well, that's true. They put lender was no name, and then they put creditor and said it was Bank of America. And then threw three other debt collectors' names or creditors' name in between and added trustee to it, and who would not be confused? I had to read it three times. Definitely, they wasn't going to get – did y'all hear that? They wasn't going to get Yama if they sent that letter. All right, let's talk about the services for a minute. Let me share something with you, okay? Let me tell you why you need to take things serious if you're in foreclosure and you need to be in that webinar this weekend. Okay, because most of y'all are under the misconception of really who you're dealing with. Okay? If you look at that letter, It made a lot of references to a lot of people. Now, I bet anybody on this show that if we pulled up the county recorder, there's going to be an assignment to that remix years after it was closed and the cutoff date. No doubt about it. No doubt about it whatsoever. Okay? And in your letter, you're saying, well, it looks like you can pick any one of those three parties. But you're going to say Bank of America, the servicer, is owed the debt. Let me tell you why Bank of America, the servicer, is named here as being the creditor. All right? Y'all know why Bank of America was listed as being the creditor? Or alleged to be the creditor? Because they are. For the simple fact that I have told you over and over again, two things. One, identify, identify, identify. Don't believe anything somebody tells you. Okay? I don't care who it is. Research everything I tell you. But just because somebody writes something on a letter, and if you can see, as you can see, people write things on a letter that make no damn sense. And I got a 70-year-old Yama over there that will be like, do you know who my son is? You putting that crap in that letter, you're going to say I owe you this amount, and on the bottom you're going to say it may change or may vary or may add something. So my 70-year-old elder is not falling for the nonsense. And you put out a letter like this, and you send them out in abundance, and they just happen to wind up on Thor? Oof. Oof. Let me tell you why they said the servicer is the creditor. Well, because the servicer, in their world, is the creditor. Why? They bought your debt. And I can tell y'all with this boogeyman game that these servicers, non-bank servicers, let me go on and put it in reality because I never tell you that because you never ask. Well, I'm the servicer. Well, my servicer, they always call, Brother Tree, my servicer said that, what servicer? Why do you keep, don't even introduce that into your spirit. You don't know what they said. Okay, well, how do you know? Well, my alleged, and you need to start using that word. My alleged servicer said that, you know, this, that, and the third. I'll be like, okay. Well, you know when you're talking to the servicer, you know who you're talking to, right? Yeah, they're the servicer for the lender. I'm like, really? And you believe that? How do you know? First of all, maybe they might be, but how do you know? How do you know? There's other people that play boogeyman games with you. You should know who I'm talking about. There's always somebody that's invisible that you never see. I mean, you can they play that game going back millions of years, the boogeyman or some other person that's either good or evil that you can't see. Reminds you of the movie The Wizard of Oz, and when you finally pull a curtain, reality hits you. So it's always this boogeyman. We're the servicer, we're acting for somebody else. Well, who's the somebody else? Well, both of y'all come to my office then. Or both of y'all meet me in court. Because I don't think you're working for somebody. Until I know you're working for somebody, because this letter is not from that somebody. It's from you. So whoever's communicating with you, you need to grill them like a grilled cheese. Oh, so you're saying you're working for this person. Huh? Okay, so that means you really don't know any of the information you're saying is true, right? Right. So why did you put on the bottom of the letter that you may be a debt collector? Your debts are not a creditor. I mean, let's look at the line of people. Bank of America as servicer, Fiduci Bank, who used to be Bankers Trust, who's working as a trustee for the holders of the certificate, the REMIC, who has a million investors. Now, who are you working for again? Who do you answer to? Take me to your leader. Who is it? Is it Fiduci Bank? Is it the trustee? Is it the holders? And holders got an S on it. How many holders you got? Well, who told you to do what you're doing? Who are you? I'm reading this letter, and I'm not understanding. Y'all might be like, who are you? And how much you said I owe again? Send me another letter, please. So just so I can have two. So I want to see if you're dumb enough to do it again. Send me another letter. Yeah, here's my notice of dispute. You can read that letter and see if you can clear it up and send it to me again. And if you clear it up, then I'm just going to get you anyway because that means you sent me. Y'all get what I'm saying? Hopefully. Right? But let's say why the servicer is the creditor. Because they are. Why? They bought your debt. Y'all don't get that by now. That's why you need to be in the webinar. Okay? Because you're around here playing foreclosure attorney and putting in motions and putting in this and doing all that and saying the service, all the services supposed to do it all. You know, you see the police, all the servicer, you know, they did a consent, you know, order with the CFPB. What they got to do with you? How does that benefit you? Cheerleading somebody else's success and you don't have none yourself. So what? They had a consent order. You still losing your house, right? That means they violating something, right? The biggest problem is you not knowing who you're dealing with and who they are and how to discern them and how to communicate with them and get them to communicate with you, especially when they send you a communication like this. So I'm going to tell you why the servicer is your creditor, and they told you here. There's a lender that we work for, and there's a creditor, but you owe us. We got that. We taking care of that, all that. We taking care of all that for that boogeyman over there. No, you can't see the boogeyman. The letter's not from the boogeyman, no. Yeah, I worked for him. He told me to send it. But you have a relationship on your mortgage and your deed with a what? A who? A lender, right? L-E-N-D-E-R. Right? And there's some mention of in those contracts a servicer. They change from time to time, though, and your contract says that, doesn't it? Okay? But it doesn't mention creditor, do you? If you cannot take words that is used in communicating with you about some contract that you have executed, and if those words and activities don't match the words and activity in the contract, then their name and activity is not in the contract. Simple as that. I'll give you a hint. The word investor. Y'all seen those letters. You send a notice of dispute or QWR. Some of you do that silly stuff too. And they come back and say, your investor is so-and-so. Now, where is it in your mortgage or your deed does it say the word investor? Well, what do you think debt collectors do? They what? They pool their resources and they do what? They invest in what? Buying debt, right? Isn't that what Warren Buffett did, I believe? It's alleged that he bought $40 billion or spent $4 billion for $40 billion in defaulted debt. He would be what? An investor, right? Right. But do you have a relationship with an investor in your mortgage or your deed? Nope. But you see those words and you read right over it. Right? So let me tell you why. What I've been telling you, and maybe some of y'all will get it, and I know a lot of you do, and understand when I'm in this way of thinking you are alluding to the fact that you're not conscious of what I'm talking about. But I put it in a sarcastic way just so I don't become increasingly annoyed by it. Okay? So, let me read you this article right quick. Federal court holds Ocwen must comply with Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Well, I mean, we know that, right? Don't we? Okay. Well, let me just read this to you and let me see if you catch something. A federal judge held Ocwen must comply with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act in the Zervos versus Ocwen Loan Servicing. I want you to write that down. The good thing about Thor is that we don't just do a lot of jibber-jabber and talking about, you know, the same thing all the time. We try to talk to you and educate you and give you some material that you can go read exactly what the heck we're saying. We're not in some space bubble. We're not in some private room underneath the dungeon. We're not in the cellar. We're not telling you that we give you 8% of the information and the other 92 you'll get over time. We tell you where it is. We let you go read it for yourself once our show closes out. We let you know that we're coming from a lawful and legal position, and we're getting our information not just from our experiences and our knowledge, but you can go research that and be comfortable that these are the words of your court system. And we read them word for word. We may bumble a few because sometimes I speak fast and my words get ahead of my speed and there's a collision that occurs sometimes, but I try to clean it up real nice. All right? But it says the federal judge held that Aquin must comply with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act in the Zervos, or Zervos versus Aquin Loan Servicing, LLC. Aquin Loan Servicing, LLC. It didn't say mortgage servicing. But then you got another one out there that, you know, has the word mortgage in it. And nation. Okay? All right? Again, those are what? Just because you name a company something, that means that's what you are. Just because you put, and I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I'll come back to that. A husband and wife brought a lawsuit against Aquin Loan Servicing falsely stating their home had been foreclosed on when it had not. Aquin is a debt buyer that had bought the couple's mortgage loan from the original mortgage creditor. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to read it again for you. Okay? So you'll go to other shows and you'll go to other places and you'll even hear some people in the legal society don't tell you really what really needs to be said, right? Because the longer you dance, the more money you put in the meter, correct? See, at Thor, we don't have a bunch of time, although we take up 3-4 hours, but we give you some meat so you can digest. We give it to you. Okay? So it says a husband and wife brought a lawsuit against Aquin Loan Servicing falsely stating that their home had been foreclosed on it when it had not. Aquin is a debt buyer. Buyer. They didn't say debt collector, okay? A debt buyer. They buy debt that had bought the couple's mortgage loan from the original mortgage creditor. They just told you, for all of y'all out there dealing with Aquin, and I get all those emails, don't email me anymore. And I'm saying that politely because we've been telling you the same thing, and if you don't want to believe us, well, they ain't going to believe what the court said. They said Aquin is a debt buyer. No, they said they were your servicer, right? Servicing your mortgage for the boogeyman lender, right, that you never met, did you ever get a letter from, you never talked to, right? The boogeyman exists, but just pay me. I'll pay it to the boogeyman. Me and him meet in the dungeon next week, and I'm going to give him the money. I promise. Scout's honor. I didn't say this. The judge said it. Aquin is a debt buyer that bought the couple's mortgage from the original mortgage creditor. Do you don't want me to read more? Because I don't. I mean, that's the point I was trying to doggone make when y'all keep saying. Sir, I keep saying servicers are debt collectors. That's all they are. They buy debts. They buy defaulted debt for a percentage. And then they come in and try to play a role familiar to you from a previous transaction called a mortgage or a deed. And they're dealing with you and talking to you many of times while it's in default. So they bought your debt. Now, if they bought your debt, wouldn't they in a perfect world be considered a creditor? To some extent, yes. But you bought the $100,000 loan, you might have paid $10,000 for it. You're asking me for $100,000. You don't have a financial injury of $100,000, do you? Oh. And then you're a debt collector and you're trying to act like you're acting on this deed or this mortgage that don't apply to you. And I can tell it don't apply to you because you're not doing anything within it. Let's go back to the Dunning letter. When they say on the bottom, the debt collector firm says, look, we don't know what the charge is. We can add it at any point. We'll get you checked and then we'll figure it out then. Huh? So between all you four names, the trustee, the banker who used to be the banker who, and this bank as a servicer, and this REMIC, between all those investors, between all of y'all computers and all that savvy equipment that you have, you mean to tell me you can't tell me exactly what I owe? And you say you're my creditor? Bull crap. My creditor would know what I owe to a penny. In other words, they'd be able to say, hey, Brother Shreve, if you pay it today, it's going to be this amount. If you pay it within the next 30 days, okay, the per diem is this amount per day, and you're going to owe this. Now, if you pay it after the 30 days, you're going to need to call us to get a new payoff. That would be a proper way. So that means if I sent you the $73,000 in change, that may not be enough. You could technically still go foreclose because I didn't pay you enough. Okay? Services are debt collectors. They are your creditors in a sense. They're the ones pulling all the shots. They're the ones always calling you. They're the ones always sending you letters. You never hear from the boogeyman. If I borrow money from you, Layla, and you're my creditor, and I understand you, you know, you big time and you got big money and you sit back in the big office overlooking the water and you direct people to do things. But if I have an issue because me and you have a relationship and I came and seen you based on you and how you do business, your reputation, maybe how you look, maybe I met you somewhere. At some point, if I have a problem, I expect to eventually hear from you. Wouldn't you think, Layla? Shouldn't I get something with your name on it?
Yes.
Or if I walk into the establishment, shouldn't I be able to send you a letter and be like, look, I don't like the way your staff handles me? Or I might be able to say, well, Layla, I thought you and I agreed to this or that. Or it might be, look, I heard you died and people just carrying on and acting like you still living and collecting your money. I need to hear from you and make sure I'm not paying these people and they just not taking your money and you going somewhere. Or they got you tied up somewhere and running your company. All right? I need to understand that there is no boogeyman for the most part. Okay? These servicers are debt collectors. You treat them like that. And when they don't answer your questions or you don't get a chance to talk to the boogeyman, you need to realize that it ain't no boogeyman. And you need to go and do what you need to do if you have the knowledge and ability. In the court of law, you should be entitled to trial and discovery to see if the boogeyman even exists. Because I'm telling you, in this letter right here, I'm telling you it's some boogeymen in there, a bunch of them. And you deserve the opportunity to determine whether everybody in that letter exists. And if they don't, somebody in trouble. Or somebodies are in trouble. So, hopefully y'all got something out of our lesson today. I'm going to talk to you on Saturday about that type of information and more. Because I see a lot of cases as well. I read a lot of cases where y'all just running on this assignment and, you know, these gurus, these people got you talking about the remic and just, you know, the trust didn't get the information. That's one aspect of it. But I'm telling you right now, if you rely upon entirely just some paperwork crap or some robo-signers or some surrogate signers or some MERS assignments, and if that's your whole defense and offense, you're wasting your time. And whoever you're talking to or telling you just that part of it is wasting your time. That's not going to fly. They will do a Rubik's Cube on you with paperwork to make your head spin. They will come out and use the real estate laws. They'll come out and use, you know, the 50 judges over here that decide one way, and then they take the same situation and 50 over here decide another way. They'll yank out one of those for you. Appellate court, circuit court, Supreme Court, Uniform Commercial Code, and they'll absolutely force-struck your mind And you'll be looking like Fred Flintstone character with the little halo turning above your head, not knowing what hit you. You can't rely on just paperwork. First of all, if you understand the assignment is just a notice. Y'all put too much credibility in it. And I say it to you all the time, what is assignment? Assignment is notice. That's all. Assignment is notice. When you file a mortgage in the county, what is it? Is that a lien? Oh, it's perceived to be a lien, but it's just notice that there may be a lien. I'll give you an example. Well, how many of those mortgages file in there and the mortgage is gone or paid for and the paperwork is not in the county? It's just notice. You see in the bottom of that Dunning letter, it says, look, if you're in bankruptcy, you know, just ignore this. We're just going forward, and we're going to foreclose on the lien part. Well, how do you know I didn't clear the lien in bankruptcy? You obviously don't know I'm in bankruptcy. You're supposed to take the time to look and make sure I'm not in bankruptcy. It is still a violation if they send you a demand for payment and you're in bankruptcy. Because if you're the creditor, sir, you will get notification in bankruptcy that I'm in bankruptcy and would know better than send me a demand for payment when I'm in bankruptcy. Again, I tell y'all, the computer just spits them out. 8 out of 10 of you not going to show up. You're definitely not going to go through the letter like we did. So what happens? They get away with it. It's just like, look, spit them out. We don't care. If we get a couple that's over there at the door, we'll just pay them and we'll move on. We know 8 of them is not going to show up, or they're going to call us and do a modification, or they're going to start crying about how they don't have a job. And, you know, it's people's houses. They get emotional. They get sensitive. They're going to call. They're going to call us. Nobody's going to go through the letter. Maybe a couple of Thor students will look, we've already built that loss in. We're still ahead. We're still making an 80% return on our investment of a nickel. That's all that's happening. You're in bankruptcy. Let somebody send you a letter and demand for payment. If you're my creditor, you get notice that I'm in bankruptcy. Now, if you're not, meaning maybe if you're an unsecured debt collector, you might not get notice because you really are not important and you're not secured. I'm going to leave that right there. Save the rest for Saturday. Y'all need to get serious. You plan on protecting your property and you plan on becoming a serious consumer and you plan on capitalizing on some of the behavior and conduct of the debt collectors like they capitalize on your ignorance of not knowing what they do. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're smart, whether you've been to school, whether you're educated in other areas. You can have the most expensive, best formal education. Go to school, come out making $500,000 a year. You'll be paying some debt collectors, as demonstrated in this letter. $70,000 here, $100,000 here, $200,000. But you leave, you'll make a dollar at your job, and they'll take 70 cents. You'll bring home 30 cents. You're facing debt collectors, and now you're no different than Bobby down there at McDonald's. Because you're so smart, you're dumb. Because you're paying people you're not obligated to. And you haven't been educated in things that you do every day. Why? You get that $500,000, and what do you become? A bigger consumer, don't you?
Yeah, give me that Bentley over there, and honey, go ahead and get that diamond ring from Tiffany's and put it on the credit card. And
all right, become a bigger consumer because you're making more money. That means you make more mistakes because you feel like you got it. And if things get tight a little bit or you lose that job or market dries up, like many Americans are experiencing now, you go back and you start looking at those bills, and you're like, I just realized I didn't owe that person money.
Oh, wow. Now I see why I was only bringing 30 cent home out of every dollar, and the debt collector was making 95 cents off of every nickel that they paid. Oh, I shouldn't have went to school. I just should have opened me up a debt collection company. All right. I'm done. Hopefully. We brought you some interesting information, edutainment, education, however you want to take it. Whatever it does, hopefully it pricks your conscience, gets you to thinking, studying, looking, and becoming a serious-minded consumer. Because at the end of the day, the topic that Thor has chosen is economics and civics. Whatever else you may need, you're going to need that part of it. We have a lot of sadness in our country we need to pray for. Everyone. I want to also say I have to give thanks and honor to the Most High, because it is He that allows me to do everything that I do. And with Him in the universe, I'm allowed to be just about anything I want, and I have morals and characters, and I choose to be a pretty decent person. I make that choice on my own. Nobody makes me to do that. Nobody makes me do that. That's my choice. And if there was not one law in this country, I would still make that choice. So I'm doing what I want to do. And I give all thanks to the Creator for allowing me to. I want to say also we have to pray for our country. The turmoil that's going on, the war, the propaganda, the lying, the death, the sick, the killing. I don't do doom and gloom. I just try to bring a little bit of reality in a small amount of time. But we have people that are supposed to be in the upper echelon of life in terms of the have and the have not, that are still depressed, that are still unhappy. Your spirit and your character, your mental, your emotional, are all that you have that will guide you through challenging times. The knowledge is everything. You have to learn. We're in the age of learning. If you don't know anything, you will be a victim of something. And with knowledge, you become more poised. You don't become angry. The Creator that you were able to come into a remedy of sorts that will deal with that situation. You don't get angry that you may have been a knucklehead before. We've all been knuckleheads before. I'm still a knucklehead about certain things right now. I'm not a knucklehead as a consumer. Far from it. But I've never gotten come into the information and want to just beat everybody else up with it. You paid some people you had no business because you didn't know any better. Now you know better. Shouldn't be angry about it. Put them on your desk and line them up like I do. Letters everywhere. When am I going to get him? Let me get him right quick. But let me send him a notice right quick and just let him know my knowledge, right? Let me let him know how powerful I am as a consumer. I'm not going to send him a notice and say, I'm going to sue you, you piece of crap. Hate you, debt collector. Thor told me about you. I hate you. We don't do that. We say, hey, listen, got this letter from you, and it appears that the letter may be in violation of the consumer protection law, specifically the FDCPA, as your letter fails in this regard and fails in this regard and that regard. To avoid possible litigation, I think it may be fair that you look over your communication, and if you deem appropriate, send me an amount that compensates me for the violations. If not, I may have to take further legal action. without notice. If you know you got it, you got it. You ain't mad about it? No, look, I see money there. That's $5,000 right over here. That's about $10,000 right there. Then I got actual damages. Well, which one I'm going to do? I think I'm going to do the mortgage one, because the mortgage, you know, those damages on that is pretty high. I think I'm going to do that one. And then, you know, Billy Bob Collection Company sent me over here. I'll just send them a letter. They might go on and send me my $5,000 for my impermissible credit pulls or for that dumb letter where they don't have an account number, and then they're going to say that I can do this and do that. I'm going to just send that to them and let them know I'm coming after you. I don't know when, because I got maybe a year or two or three or four or five, depending on the violation. I need to look some more, look at my credit bureau and see if you may have a different amount in the credit bureau, because you might have another cause of action in there. And then I'm going to put together a letter, and I'm going to send it to you, and I'm going to say, do you really want to come after me and my property based on this communication? Layla, that's how I talk sometimes. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you don't have to go to court. Sometimes you just got to let them know that you're a consumer. And they're going to get your letter, and they're going to be like, yeah, that's a damn consumer right there. Dog, oh, look, oh, goodness, we did say that. Oh, my goodness. Who wrote that letter? Get in here. Did you send this letter out?
Yeah.
You're killing us.
Yeah.
You're killing us. You sent out this letter? Jeez, I mean, goodness, do you see this consumer that wrote me back in here, one of them Thor members over there? We're going to get crushed.
That's
give me that file. Put it on my desk. Put it on my desk. We're not touching that anymore. Leave that right there. Goodness. Well, how long are you going to leave it on the desk? The lender, the service are calling. We go, I don't know. They got, shoot, I mean, they got 2, 3, 4, 5 years to come after us. I don't know if I ever want to touch it again. But these are the type of conversations that they will have when you have the knowledge. It's okay. You're not hurting them. You're not hurting them. Look, they created on that Dunning letter, they created their own file numbers. Look, they didn't even name the loan account number, although they made reference to the loan. That account number is not important. We don't need to put that on a letter. Our account number counts. And our account number is worth $75,000. Forget the other account number. It might have been paid off. Who cares? We're allowed to create account numbers that, by all intents and purposes, represent some amount of money. All right. Let me run over to my caller line, see if we can answer a few questions and get on out of here. Let's go to 1111. You're on Thor Radio Network. Do you have a question? Your line is open. Do you have a question? All right. Please don't press 1 if you don't have a question. Good. Oh, all right. Let's go to 310-0508. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can.
Yes. I have a question on this. If a mortgage servicer or whoever they claim they are puts an incorrect amount on the notice of trustee sale, And then sends you 97 notices of that in one day to every computation of your name they can think of. Which violation, if any, is that, and what is the damages?
So you're saying that they send you a notice of trustee sale,
Yeah.
And you said it have various amounts on each notice?
No. No, it has the same amount on each notice, but it has no
bearing
on the amount.
But there's different variations of your name.
Yeah, the variations of my name and address, they sent it to two tenants who don't even live at my property, and then the amount they put on that is the total due and owing on this note is $365,740.42. It has no bearing on the original amount or what they claimed in another letter they sent me 6 months earlier. It's actually $125,000 less than what they're claiming I now owe or did owe. How did they
that's
get
normal.
Such an incorrect
that's
amount?
That's the kind of mistakes that debt collectors do and creditors don't. I mean, creditors can keep up with money because they actually own it.
Do you think if they was paying the full amount of the debt that they'd make mistakes like that? Only debt collectors make the mistake because they can't compute what you owe because they don't really give a darn. If they're off a little bit, look, they only got a nickel in it. It's okay. Pay me a dollar and I'll put a nickel in it. And look, if I only charge you, you know, 80 cents, that's okay. Look, my markup is fantastic. But if you have different amounts, what I would say to do is go ahead and look at those different amounts, look at the time frame, try to do some simple math to see if you can justify where they're coming from, if you can. Most of the times you will not be able to.
No.
And then what I would tell you to do is to pull your credit report. Okay? And start saying what amounts are being claimed in there.
They're not
right?
on my credit
and
report
And once you do
anymore.
That, I'm sorry?
They're not on my credit anymore, credit report.
Okay, well, see when was the last reporting on your credit? And see if you could justify it there. You're going to have a lot of evidence, trust me, if you look in various places. And you just can't be germane to one particular topic. I can tell you how to tie an FDCPA and turn it into an FCRA and something else because you got to use them all right? So use everything at your disposal. But what violation is that for different amounts? It would be just what we told you, a different in character amount. Okay, 1692E.
What
okay,
about
character
the
amount,
amount
you can
of
start
notices?
There. You should.
Is it legal to send me 97 notices in one day?
Well, I mean that to me would be considered a harassment under the FDCPA. In my opinion,
that's,
sending you 97 notices, yeah, that's harassment. Just like if they called you 97 times, that would be harassment. So that would constitute harassment, in my opinion. If they sent you 97 notices.
But
okay.
Then
that's all that counts.
It's only a $1,000
if you are harassed,
violation.
You're harassed. I'm sorry?
I spoke to a couple of FDCPA attorneys, and they say, well, it's only $1,000 violation. That's all we would go for. Well, that's not enough
yeah,
to go
see,
for
that's,
for
see,
me.
That okay, well let me go on and tell you this, okay? Let me go on and tell you this. This is why I never say that you should go to one particular source for information. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One particular source in this country does not have a hold on the legal system or legal information. You can get information from wherever you deem necessary. Okay, just because someone is supposed to be an expert in something doesn't mean that they're an expert in something. Doesn't mean they're not wrong sometime, and doesn't mean I'm not wrong sometime. You have to research it for yourself. For someone to tell you, like you hear some of these other clowns say, and some of them will be within a legal society and some of them without. They will say some ignorant things.
Mm-hmm.
People will say I say some ignorant things. For somebody to tell you that they can say, oh, you know, if somebody does that, it's just $1,000, then I'm going to tell you right now that's why you don't go to one source for your information, because that person is an idiot. Okay? $1,000 is just a liability. If you have any actual damages, if you're dealing with the FCRA in some cases, you have punitive damages. It all depends on the extent of the behavior and the conduct. It is not just $1,000. And anybody that tells you that, you need to tell them you need to not be deemed an expert or a professional or anything else, or you need to do some more studying. Okay? Again, things are told to you sometime to mislead you or to redirect you from the source of your remedy. Okay? Somebody sends you 97 letters to me. That's harassment. If somebody sends you a letter with different amounts, that's a misrepresentation of the character amount of the debt, and on and so forth. You need to go in and read the FDCPA entirely. It is 12 pages. It is shorter than your mortgage or your deed. You need to read it. And as you read it, you will be able to highlight what you feel are violations, and then do your research to see how others have advanced their causes of action in that respect. Okay? 97 letters is, to me, harassment. Sending you different varying amounts is an harassment. Them sending different names, I don't know. Okay? But if somebody's sending you an amount that confuses you and you totally get numb, because you don't know what to do because I got 97 letters. Which one am I going to believe? Then that's a damage. You
mm-hmm.
understand? That's confusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a damage. Misrepresentation, that's a damage. You're a least sophisticated, unsophisticated consumer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say every time, ma'am. That you
have
to decide that.
Every time they send you something that confuses you or that is totally different to what they sent you before,
I'm not going to go that far either. But if it's a violation and it's listed and enumerated in the FDCPA, that it is a violation, and a violation of that sort will cause a confusion. It may cause you not to pay your mortgage because you don't know who to pay or what to pay or which amount to pay, or you become to the point where you don't know if you should pay. That can be a violation and may be a
mm-hmm.
violation, especially if it's 97 of them. All right?
Okay.
You're not going to get all your information from one source, and that's why I never lead you to a particular source. I tell you to find the information where you deem appropriate, where you feel you're going to get the truth, and the truth is subjective. You have to make that decision, all right? I appreciate your call.
Okay.
That should give you a direction to go to, and you're right there in it, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd say that's 97 opportunities of leverage right there.
Yeah, and I say, you know, whatever person told you, well, those are meatball cases. Yeah, okay. If you're on Thor's emailing list, you're here because you seen a meatball, or are you talking about a whole warehouse full of meatballs? Okay, you got to watch people and what they say and why they say it. Okay, we haven't shared with you any meatball cases, trust me. And we haven't shared with you any $1,000 cases either. All right, so let's get real about it. And any of you out there want to challenge that, give me a call, 657. I'm here. I stand to be corrected. Goodness. All right. Let's go to 267-3782. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Yes, peace, Brother Sharif. Thank you for how you bring your research. I have two questions. One is the note, does the note have to be filed in the county record? And two, a mortgage and a deed of trust, is that the same thing that they use synonymously or what?
All right, I'll take the latter first. The mortgage and a deed of trust, is it the same thing? I don't know. There's mortgages. Some states are mortgage states. Some states are deed of trust states. Some states are both. Okay?
Okay.
So you
okay.
would have to look at your documentation and see if you have a deed or a mortgage. I'm sorry?
Okay. According to what I read online, it says that this is a judicial state and it's a mortgage and not a deed of trust state. Because it gave
okay.
a look with
so you're a mortgage
right.
state.
Okay.
All right. Now, your first question, does a note have to be filed in the county? I'm not exactly sure. I know generally they are. But let me ask you a question. What difference does it make about the note? If you're dealing with a creditor now, that may make a difference.
When I went to the Office of Records, it only showed a mortgage, and they have, like, the deed. Documentation as far as what they gave you at the signing or closing, and those are the only things that I saw. Oh, and the assignment.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I misspoke. I got confused trying to listen, and you were talking when I was talking. A note is usually not filed in the county. Sometimes
okay.
it is, sometimes it isn't. Most of the time it's just the mortgage or the deed. And then sometimes
okay.
it may be the note. It just all depends. But why is that important to you, depending on who you're dealing with? I don't want you to get caught in that note and mortgage.
Right. I was just asking to find out. Right. I was just asking to find out if it should be filed. That's the only reason for asking the question.
Okay. Yeah, but you're not going to find any violation if it's not. So what you need to determine, this is what I would be determining if it's you, who am I dealing with?
Because if you listen to the examples and the information that I talk about today on any other show, I don't be talking the note and the mortgage and where it is and who filed it and what must record state and who record state and maybe, and I don't have to, and I don't have to file assignment, and I don't, and I won't. That's not getting you any money. If you got a debt collector before you, it really doesn't matter who got the note and the mortgage. It's a debt under 1692A5, is it not? And they're a debt collector if they obtained it while it was in default, are they not? So that's what you should focus on. I really don't care about the debt anymore because the FDCPA is not about the debt. I don't care if you have the original note. It doesn't matter. Your behavior and conduct has to be in compliance with the consumer protection laws. So you can have a spanking brand new hot off the press original note and do something that violates the FDCPA, and your note wouldn't matter whatsoever. Hold it till after I finish with you. It may not be worth anything. I may have to give you a little bit of change to go with it, or you may have to give me some change and the dang on note. It all depends. Stop chasing that stuff if you don't have a creditor in front of you. And if you did have a creditor and he didn't file a note, what you going to sue him for? Failure to file a note? I don't know of a cause of action based on that. So I just want to make sure that you're on the right trail. Okay?
Thank
you, sir. All right. Yama, I got a few minutes left. What do you think, Yama?
Shalom. Yes, I'm here. Excellent. I really enjoyed it today. Everyone participated, and when you participate like that, you really, you get a better understanding. And you know what, C3, you had said this in one of your tapes a long time ago, and we tend to forget it, but you said there is not a debt collector on this earth that can prove anything about a debt unless you admit it.
That's right. I mean, pretty much. I mean, they need you, don't they? I mean,
yes.
I mean, you can take that and you can stroke that brush across any type of legal situation, civil or criminal. So they try to get you to, you know, you did something wrong. You want to take this plea agreement? Don't
right.
You know you did something wrong? Okay, so
yes,
the same thing with civil. Why y'all admitting anything?
Yes, to admit it, and they're not even they're not the creditor. They are a debt collector, like you say. They buy pennies
right.
on the dollar. And they trying
right.
to get
and
more
let me tell you,
you,
Yama, let me tell you how they really don't think, how they really so comfortable with y'all engaging in subject matter and start talking about the debt. You seen that letter from that debt collector. Look, we're going to send you this letter just because the FDCPA said we need to send it. But, we really don't have to. Okay? Again, when you listen to the sister that just called and she said, oh, I talked to one of those, and they said that, that's only $1,000. And then when you read this letter from this debt collector firm, well, you know what? The FDCPA said that we just got to send you the letter, but we don't have to respect the time limit that we say is in the letter. We can continue and do what
yes.
we want to do before you
yes.
even
Why
have the
we...
opportunity to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
two answers that are completely wrong from people that supposed to be professionals in what they do. Y'all
yes.
take it for what it is.
Yes.
Take it
and
for
then
what
you
it
wind
is.
Up,
but great
you wind
answer
up
you did. Power. Great answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really enjoyed the show, what Lori had to say, and based on when she first opened up about, it's like your thinking pattern, what you think you generate. So that's what you're going to have,
mm-hmm.
or how you respond on dealing with people, you have to respond to them based on how you want to be treated. And
right.
Applying knowledge. You have to see, think about it, when we get this, we have to apply this knowledge. And if we don't get it the first time, then we have to go back over the Blog Talk tape and get it. We have to get it so we can apply it to every area of our life. And then what I really like, what you had said, is about when you speak, when you teach, you're teaching yourself.
That's right.
Powerful in itself that you have words, that the Creator give you words to speak, and you get an increase from it because you're hearing it